It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 13th day of June, 2022. This is the Horn Head On Live. Is where you'll find us on the interweb. That's where you also go. Also, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between in the great globe round. And whatever time it is when you listen to the podcast, hi, I'm Robin, and it is More In Monday on the Horn, and that's fortunate because, well, we had episode 2 of the Maggot Treason reality show this morning, and I have a feeling we're going to spend a whole lot of time on that. But if you do go over to headon.live and check out the chat room, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Anatole, and capably moderated just because he just now popped in by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yeah. And so, hail, hail, the gang's all here, and every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks today, this 13th day of June, to our 13th, 12th, and 11th day of the month subscribers on PayPal. And that means we say thanks to Paul. Thank you, Paul. And thank you to Gary and Gaia. Thank you so much. Thanks as well to Gary in New York. Thank you. And thanks as well to Andy. Jumped in. Thank you, Andy. And thanks to Paul from Parts Unknown and Christopher in Oregon. Thank you to John. Thank you to Anthony, Tony, our buddy Tony and Chico. Thanks to each and every one of you who keep this program going through your generous contributions to independent, commercial-free, not particularly capitalist, progressive broadcasting. Yeah, thank you. Thank you a bunch. And also, I had a note shortly before airtime from our dear friend Rico, who said it's the Trump Corruption Part 100,002 Challenge. 100,002 Trump Corruption Challenge. Hey, beautiful. Hey, Rico. Just got done listening to Friday on the Front Porch, and yeah, it was intense. But I'm heartened that you got all caught up with fundraising. Truly a miracle. And yes, it was. And thanks to those, you know, we had $750 worth of challenges on the table, and it's because those got met that we made it and got the really scary lupine pest off the porch, which is takes a little bit off my back. I sure appreciate it. Truly a miracle, Rico says. Let's keep it going. I propose a $100, the continuing story of Trump corruption challenge, and if it's met, I'll kick in another $50. Well, there, Robin. Love you, Rico. Rico in the getting hotter by the day, but always lovely and quiescent Berg. Oh, God, you know, you make me think that What a great way to spend like a weekend afternoon, and you know, toddle up to the Berg and get a couple of seats in the cheap seats at PNC Park, watch some baseball, drink an Iron City beer in one of only two places on God's green earth where I will drink Iron City beer, and that is, of course, when watching a Steelers game, you know, at home or at, you know, at the stadium, or watching, actually there's three places, four, Pens game, Steelers game, Bucks game, and of course down in the strip at Primanti Brothers with one of the best sandwiches on earth, bar none. So, civilization. Need to get away. Thank you, Rico. Thank you. I hope people will jump in. If we raise $100, then we will get close to being done with this here 13th day of the month, the fundraising. Just $100, and Rico will make up the other 150 of it, and that'll get us to all but $50. So maybe we could jump on that. That'd be wonderful. Oh, yeah, a couple of hot dogs at the ballpark, Anatole. Abso-damn-lutely. Or it being PNC Park and everything. Maybe a little serving of pierogies. God, I love pierogies. I love the sauerkraut pierogies. Oh, they're so good. It's so good, yes. Jesus, bro. Fucking bimbo. Thank you. Thank you, Rico. And I bet the Berg is lovely and quiescent. It was a quiescent weekend here at the fabulous Kincaid Mansion, or the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. I had the best time Saturday evening. My GF bestie, Bobby and I, grabbed a bite of dinner at the local Greek place. We went wild on appetizers, hummus, baba ganoush. Grape leaves, falafel, salads, and oh God, some of the best pizza. I think they must do their own pizza because it's so puffy and beautiful. And after that, we went for a little drive, and she said, "Hey, where do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, let's just loop out south of here to the national park and pop in at Grandview." And she said, "Ooh, I've never seen that before," and so we did. They had a wonderful talk, chatted all the way, and we went out to Grandview, and it is a grand view, a great big bend in the river. It's just wild to look down at it and know that you're looking at, 300 million years or more of geologic time at work, thinking about the one river, the single river that crossed Pangaea back eons ago. It was called the Great, geologists named it the Great Tays River, T-E-A-Y-S. And the last remnant of the Great Tays River rises in North Carolina and flows south to north until it terminates in West Virginia by joining the Gauley River and forming the Great Kanawha. But the fact of the matter is, the Great Kanawha is probably part of the Tays, too. I'd have to get hold of Miss Terry, the world's most lovely geologist, to find out for certain. But it's probably a decent guess on my part. But that's and the thing is, the only possible river older than the New River, which is ironic as hell, is of course the Nile. And the neat thing about it is all is, oddly enough, both the Nile and the New begin with N. Well, there's that. But it also, they both run south to north, and then kind of westerly with the New. But it was a lovely evening. Yesterday was just sort of low key, and today I had speech therapy. I was actually going to do it in person down in Huntington, but instead. Well, I got into my first traffic jam at the foot of Gauley Mountain, and I looked at the Maps app, and it was like, "Hey, look at that! I'm going to be stopped in traffic all the way from here to Huntington. I might get to Huntington sometime tomorrow." So I turned around and went scooting back up the hill, and let them know that we need to do it virtually, but had a really, really good speech therapy session. I always feel better after those. And so here we are. And along the way, of course, I had to listen to the treason hearings. And couldn't view, although Darlene in Connecticut told me that it appeared that the women on the panel had decided to coordinate their outfits, and I love that. Okay, Arthur, okay. Oh, my God, Robin, stop, like, bimbo shaming? Yeah. Oh, wow, sounds cool, Theo. In the chat room, Theo says, you'd love the Columbia River Basin, formed and shaped by glacial dam breaks, which produced the Missoula's flood again and again and again over many centuries. Missoula floods. I'm gonna have to look that up, and I bet I'm gonna find out. Yes, it's a geologic reference, but probably also the name of well, if it was up to me, it would be a Class A ball team in Missoula, Montana. Yes, it all blew up in Missoula. There was just no other way after months of going crazy. Never mind. That's a Jimmy Buffett lyric called, what is it? That's from, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes. That album's called Miss You So Badly, I think, if I recall correct. And you're absolutely right, Anatole. Pangaea broke apart about 200 million years ago. Its pieces drifting away on the tectonic plates. But not that's save it for Tuesday, Anatole. That's when we talk about the Titanic plates. But not permanently. The continents will reunite again in the deep future. And this is the part where I don't sing "Reunited," okay? But you know, you can see that in the shapes, the relative shapes of the continent of Africa and the continent of South America. You can tell they broke apart that way. And the Great Tays River must have been one heck of a stream back then. But it is in fact, more in Monday. And we've got him. Oh, God. We've got him. Let's start, if we could, and we can, because, you know, I've got the mouse and everything here. Let's start with some genuine stupidity, and not of the ha-ha, stupid people kind of stupidity. No, let's start with some genuine stupidity from, of the violent and homicidal type. From out in the Great Northwest. It was out toward, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, when somebody who had heard some chatter, shall we say, over the course of, you know, these are people of the land, you know, morons. I don't mean the tipster, I mean what they found. And so they tipped the police, and the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho police popped open the back of a U-Haul truck that they had detained, and it was kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of like busting in the rusted bottom of a dumpster, and all kinds of cockroaches come scurrying out. You remember that scene from the first Men in Black, right? Well, when they opened the back of the U-Haul, they got this. It would help a lot. Huh? No. Oh, yeah, there's our problem.
Stay on the sidewalk.
Yep, bunch of identically, like 31 of them, identically dressed with masks over their faces, and, you know, white supremacist neo-Nazis from Patriot Front. Yeah, our buddy Dave Nywert has talked about Patriot Front at length. They're a Christian nationalist hate organization. One of them has a T-shirt on that says "Reclaim America," and they are all uniformly white, and they're all uniformly male. And the cops have them all zip-tied with their hands behind their backs on their knees. Yeah!
Losers!
Losers!
Got pulled over. They were all piled in the U-Haul, and they are all detained.
Yeah, like, dude, let's, like, road trip. Let's all put on our Patriot Front khakis and our Patriot Front tactical boots and our Patriot Front T-shirts and our Patriot Front face masks and our khaki Patriot Front ball caps, and let's get in the back of a U-Haul, y'all, and road trip! Only it wasn't really a road trip. I mean, it was kind of a road trip. Bunch of losers. Neo-Nazis. What they were doing is they were going to go to a pride event in Idaho where they hoped to hurt some gay and trans people. Maybe stomp on some children. Hey. Not to put too fine a point on it, but I know how they vote. Make America great again, y'all! Only probably don't say they don't say y'all so much in Coeur d'Alene. Yeah, it's. I'm glad it was in Illinois, but it would have been more convenient because then we could have gone back to that clip of the Blues Brothers. I hate Illinois Nazis. Well, I'm not fond of the ones in Idaho, either. Imagine that. They'll put on a mask to attack people who simply want to be able to live their lives. They'll put on a mask to attack a gathering of a loving community. But they won't put on a mask to stop the spread of a deadly goddamn virus. Kind of tells you everything you ever needed to know about white supremacist neo-Nazis, for God's sakes. And some of the assholes were running around with a big banner that says, "Groomers are not welcome in Idaho." Of course, there weren't any groomers. Oddly enough, the cops showed up with four tactical... I didn't even know these existed. And I'm not making light. They showed up with four tactical wheelchairs? All right, I'm going to say something, and maybe I'll regret it, or maybe I won't. I hate Illinois Nazis. I also hate Idaho Nazis. I despise white supremacists. It's a paradox, but it's still okay that the only way we can have a tolerant society is by not tolerating white supremacists and Nazis. And there's some part of me, I saw the footage of the van being opened and one of the little fucking Nazis yelling, "Fuck!" when he realized that they'd all been caught. Stupid cucks. Let's check in with a little bit more of the video after they were all busted. Hauling them away one by one.
They just stay off the grass. You guys can film as much as you want. Just stay off the grass, please.
Well, that sounded neighborly. That was one of the cops. You can film as much as you want. Just stay off the grass as the cop walks over the all over the grass.
Family member of theirs?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I don't think so. Dad? You in there?
And then they started pulling the masks off of their heads. Oop, time to take your mask off, Nazi. Oh, look, very, very short hair, very pale skin. Yeah, getting searched, getting patted down. They had their U-Haul was also full of shields because they intended to march in, I guess, phalanx style and stomp the living beat Jesus out of the LGBTQ community. I mean, okay, so here's the question. And, you know, just because I'm curious, they're probably going to be booked on some sort of charge within you know, the Idaho code of state laws or whatever. But what I want to know is whether maybe the DOJ might step into this, because this is some seriously concerted conspiratorial action. And it seems designed to violate the civil rights of the LGBTQ. Oh, wait, we don't have civil rights. Never mind. Sorry. But it sure seems like a terrorist operation. How about terroristic threats? How about terroristic behavior? Could we maybe get that? Well, I don't know. I'm just asking, you know, for Merrick Garland. And some of them who weren't arrested showed up at the Pride celebration in Coeur d'Alene and started saying vulgar, hateful, nasty, vile shit. To people who showed up for the Pride event. One guy posed for one of the reporters, a woman named Alyssa. She's a Syrian journalist, Alyssa Azar. Said his name was Steven, and he was there with the free percenters. God, I can't keep up. Let's see. Patriot Pride, Free Percenters, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, and they're all cut from the same cloth. And that's why, I was going to say, and like I said, I might regret saying this, but I kind of wish when they figured out that there was 31 goddamn Nazis in there, somebody would have put a padlock on the back wall or on the gate of the U-Haul, driven it to some really, really hot remote location, drained the gas tank, locked the doors, and walked away. When the idiots with the groomers not welcome in Idaho banner showed up, at least they spelled it right, lo and behold, some liberals came up and confronted them and then did the cha-cha slide behind them. Hell of a weekend, really. Quietish here, but still.
should be thinking that we're out here in Idaho, not also like you.
We don't want to see
that. We just want to see that. Not us kids. Not us down here at the park. Don't you be thinking that we're out here in Idaho, not also like you.
We don't want to see this. You want to take the other way.
We just want to live. That's why we're here. You know that's why we're out here.
I'll be over there.
A lot of us come out here just to live.
Ooh, and some of these Patriot Pride boys are really, really ripped and buff.
And they probably just came in here thinking they were going to defend.
I got to go.
There's nothing to defend today. The defending happened on the internet when they stopped whatever was going to happen. Now it's here.
Reclaim America.
Yeah, all this is on the internet. Hey, like, do you live here? Okay, so do I. I'm here like every day.
And curiously, when they were confronted by the cops, they all became quite docile. And the cops were just as gentle with them as though they were little newborn lambs and not bloodthirsty goddamn Nazis bent on destruction. And the reporter who delivered all of this at one point stumbled onto 50-plus Proud Boys because they were there, too. Now, Idaho kind of sounds like maybe it was an isolated event. No, sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Because also this weekend, another little something I said they're all cut from the same cloth, and Lee in New York said, is that cloth a white hood and robe? Pretty much. The best part, Flavio notes, is when they pop open the U-Haul and they suddenly realize, yeah, they've been busted. It was, let's see. Yeah, here we are. Here's the video of them opening the door to the opening the door to the U-Haul. And then they... We would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. There's the door going up.
Dude, they all got bandanas and hopping out the window.
And they politely got out and laid down on the ground because there were a lot of guns pointed at them. Interestingly, it was one of those situations where the gun didn't just go off. Coeur d'Alene Police Chief Lee White said at a news conference, they came to riot downtown. No, they came to attack downtown. Riots tend to be, well, uncoordinated. This was anything but uncoordinated. It's very, very coordinated, as we'll see. Perhaps even more coordinated than maybe the cops in Coeur d'Alene thought.
Doing okay? All right. We'll go ahead and get started. My name is Robert Norris. I am your Kootenai County Sheriff. Accompanied with me today is Chief Lee White from the City of Coeur d'Alene and Captain John Kemp from the State of Idaho. And we want to let you know that this information is very, very fresh. It's very preliminary. But in our effort to get the information to you as quickly as we can. We wanted to have this press conference. So Chief White is going to go through some of the specifics of the event, of what we know so far. Chief?
Thank you, Sheriff. I want to start off by thanking our partner agencies, the Kootenai County Sheriff's Department, the Idaho State Police, that have partnered with us throughout this event in the planning and preparation for today's events. And I think it's largely because of our teamwork and the way we work so cooperatively together that today ended up being relatively uneventful overall. We had been receiving information over the last couple of days that there were a number of groups that were planning on to disrupt today's activities, and so that was the reason for the large presence of uniformed officers in the downtown area. At approximately 1:38 this afternoon, we received a telephone call from a concerned citizen who reported that approximately 20 people jumped into a U-Haul wearing masks. They had shields and, quote, looked like a little army. Units began to go into the area, and we made a traffic stop almost exactly 10 minutes later. At that point, 31 people were detained. They were all wearing similar attire. They had shields, shin guards, and other riot gear with them, including at least one smoke grenade. Those 31 individuals have been arrested for conspiracy to riot. At this point, they appeared to be affiliated with the group Patriot Front. These individuals come from all over. We are still in the booking process. We have not completed booking of all 31 individuals. But at this point, we have individuals from Texas, Utah, Idaho, Colorado, South Dakota, Illinois, Arkansas, Wyoming, Washington, Oregon, and Virginia. And as I said, the booking process is not complete yet.
Well, hot damn, there weren't any West Virginians in there, but I got to ask, where's the goddamned Alabamian? Alabama Nazis, always late.
Officers are going to be, over the course of the next several days, still booking evidence in, including the shields and riot gear and things of that nature that were taken from these individuals. I want to say, for me personally, I don't think this would have been as successful had we not had one extremely astute citizen who saw something that was very concerning to them and reported it to us.
If you see something,
it is clear from to us,
Nazis,
based on the gear that the individuals had with them, the stuff they had in the possession and in the U-Haul with them, along with paperwork that was seized from them, that they came to riot downtown. And that's why they've been booked appropriately for conspiracy to riot. And with that, I'll take questions.
Is that a felony?
Yes, sir.
Could you tell us more about that paperwork or any other communications that would suggest conspiracy to riot beyond just the gear that they had in their possession?
I don't think I'm at liberty to say exactly what the paperwork had on it just yet. I will tell you it appeared to be very similar to an operations plan that a police or military group would put together for a days of for an event.
And it was just one charge of conspiracy to riot per person?
I don't know if additional charges, they might be pending based on, you know.
Terrorism? God knows if they were brown-skinned, they'd be up to their necks in terrorism charges. But they had an operational plan. How about that? That looks similar to something police or the military would put together. How could they ever possibly learn to put together something? Oh, wait, I bet a shit ton of them are veterans. Because we know that in the riots, in the insurrection of January 6th, we know that a whole bunch of them were veterans. We know here, at least within our little family community congregation, that the military of the United States is deeply infiltrated and deeply compromised at every level by these white supremacists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, Nazis, Klansmen, and Methodists. I mean, I just added the Methodist part. Just in case, because, you know, this is a fluid and developing situation, the Texan that was mentioned by the police chief there, His name is Thomas Ryan Russo. He's 23 years old. He happens to be the founder of the white supremacist neo-Nazi group, the Patriot Front. And you can't believe, you can't blame the members of the LGBTQ community there in northern Idaho for feeling like they're increasingly at risk. And yes, it's a misdemeanor. Conspiracy to riot. I think it had gotten past the conspiracy phase, however, if they want to consider some terrorism charges. Yeah, Thomas Ryan Russo of Grapevine, Texas, because of course, he founded Patriot Front in the days and weeks following the Unite the Right insurrection in Charlottesville, Virginia in August of 2017. From Florissant, Missouri came Mitchell F. Wagner. He's got a rap sheet that includes the defacing of a mural of famous black Americans on a college campus in St. Louis. Meanwhile, Mitchell F. Wagner, or should we say Wagner, 24, of Florissant, Missouri, he's already got a pettifogger, a Michael Kilty, who said Patriot Front doesn't have a reputation for violence. I'm sure those were merely ceremonial riot shields. And he thinks that 31 people piling into a U-Haul van to go and attack a bunch of LGBTQ people in Coeur d'Alene, he says that could be a First Amendment issue. Even if you don't like the speech, they have the right to make it. But the bottom line is that Patriot Front thinks that people of color, Jews, LGBTQ people, are all enemies. And, yeah, they aim to do violence. Well, line up, Republicans. Republicans in Alabama, Republicans in Ohio, Republicans in Texas, line up. Because these are your allies. These are the people you support when you pass legislation to torment little LGBTQ kids. Yeah, Washington, Oregon, Texas, Utah, Colorado, South Dakota, Illinois, Wyoming, Virginia, and Arkansas. And only one of the 31 arrested was actually from Idaho.
Well, other things that might be found during the booking process and things of that nature, but at this point, each of those 31 individuals has only been charged with conspiracy to riot.
Leslie, any known firearms that were found?
I don't have any information about that. I didn't see any on the stop myself. Like I said, there was at least one smoke grenade. There was multiple shields. They were all wearing hats that had plastic inside them, shin guards, shields, things of that nature.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
There's social media reports saying that a Coeur d'Alene police, member of the police department, told some of their that the department has informants inside Patriot Front and told them they were loading up in the back of the U-Haul with weapons. Can you confirm or deny anything around that?
No. I can't. I would tell you that's not how we got this information at all. It came from just one concerned citizen. It did not come from an informant inside any organization.
Do you know where the U-Haul was?
That was nicely and strategically placed, though, because Patriot Front members who didn't show up will now start looking at each other and go, are you the snitch? You must be the snitch. Beat the hell out of each other, boys. Go right ahead. Boys.
First reported.
I don't know where they rented it from. I know that they were loading up in a parking lot of a local hotel. That's where they, I guess, met up and all got in this one U-Haul. As far as where they were staying or where they rented it, I'm sorry, I can't speak to that. I don't have that information just yet. As Sheriff Norris said, this is very, very fresh. Remember, we just arrested 31 people less than 2 hours ago. We are just getting through this. We haven't begun to do interviews. We haven't even finished the booking paperwork on these individuals yet. This is about as fresh as it gets. And I don't anticipate any additional information coming out until Monday at the earliest. Yes, sir.
The Department of Homeland Security recently voted that white nationalist groups and domestic terrorists were the number one security threat. Do you anticipate working or being in contact with federal authorities before other charges?
I can tell you that we've been in contact with our federal partners all day. We had a member of a federal agency who was with us at the task at the command post all day. Yes, sir.
I know that there were rumors online, especially around Parler, regarding people coming to these events today with bear mace and other kinds of weaponry. Was that ever made known to any of the people, you know, that responded to this, or did you guys already know about any of these other kinds of threats that were emerging online?
We did know about some of the threats that were happening online, and yes, there were people walking around the event with long guns and handguns and bear spray and all kinds of things like that. None of that's illegal in Idaho. It's
You know, that's kind of operative, isn't it? Not that there were people walking around the Pride event with long guns and bear spray. Not that that's illegal in Idaho. I mean, I'm just a little baby member of the LGBTQ community, but I'm guessing that when the word bear is used within the LGBTQ community, they're not talking about the kind of bears that you actually spray with bear spray. Unless by bear spray we mean a can of fucking Axe or something. I should probably be making jokes. Oh. Not that that's illegal in Idaho. How can you tell who were the good ones? Did the good people with the long guns have, like, long guns, AR-15s with rainbow-striped stocks? What? Yeah, why am I betting nobody carrying a gun around there was, I don't know, maybe. Hard to say. Yeah, I know. Randy Radar asked, did the cops take them all to Burger King? Don't know. Not outside the realm of possibility, but these guys, I hate to say it, but these guys actually sound decidedly competent. But as Lady B pointed out, never send a white cop to do a black cop's job. Who knows how they would have responded if they'd pulled that U-Haul door up and there'd been a bunch of black cops standing there. They may have poured out and gone to war. Nah, probably not. Because they tend to only attack people who don't have anything to attack them back with. But it's interesting that apparently on Parler and Telegram and messaging apps like that, the information was flying fast, hot.
Only to the point when they start using it that we grow really concerned.
Yeah, okay. The that's about the bear spray and the long guns. It's only when they start using it that we get really concerned. Pardon me if I observe that maybe it's a little too late to be concerned when they start using the goddamned AR-15s. Or am I just being some sort of panty-waist liberal on that? Well, I mean, I am, but never mind. We have what appears to be a highly coordinated attack that has so far been met with misdemeanor charges. God, it almost sounds like, I don't know, January 6th. And I promise we will get to the treason TV here in a little bit. But it wasn't quite as, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if I'm just being paranoid or if I'm maybe onto something here. Because, see, this wasn't the only one. Actually, there was another event over the weekend in, in the San Lorenzo Library near Oakland, California. They had a Pride-affiliated event this past weekend. It was a drag queen story hour. And nothing gets the shitbirds of the neo-Nazi right more incensed than a drag queen story hour. So a drag queen by the name of Panda Dolce was reading a book, and they were singing the welcome song with a bunch of five-year-olds at the San Lorenzo Library, San Lorenzo, California, not being too far from Oakland in Alameda County, when a bunch of Proud Boys showed up, you know, wearing their colors and everything. One guy had a black T-shirt on with gold letters. That's their color, black and yellow. You know, yellow is the stripe down their backs if anybody's actually opposing them. And the one guy was, and his T-shirt was in black, and it had a yellow assault rifle on it. And it said, "Kill your local pedophile." Of course, he doesn't realize that he's probably talking about a Republican in that regard. But then again, he's a Proud Boy and not particularly intelligent, just stupid and violent. Here he is now.
Did you guys call the cops?
It's sexual.
Thank you.
It's sexual.
You were just talking. Now you're not talking anymore.
I don't understand.
It's not about being against them.
Two little girls I support and I love. I will never allow you to take them. Nope. Will not happen. Get it right.
Has nothing to do with sexuality. That video is after it got calmer. But they called the cops. The cops came and de-escalated the situation. Speaking to BuzzFeed News, BuzzFeed News was told by the San Lorenzo Library, "Libraries are open to all and are places that foster inclusion of all of our communities. Attempts to intimidate and silence others are not tolerated in libraries. We're grateful to Panda Dolce for showing bravery and resilience in finishing the storytime event." Panda Dolce herself, speaking to BuzzFeed, said, "These kids deserve programming and role models that's accurately reflective of our diverse world, not a regurgitated monolith authored by xenophobes because they're too cowardly to accept reality." The Alameda County Sheriff's Office says that it is investigating the incident as a hate crime and investigating the annoying and harassing of children. Maybe, just maybe, the real pedophiles were wearing the Proud Boys gear. And of course, these right-wing maggots have attacked Drag Queen Storytime in a number of other locations. There was a huge kerfuffle with hundreds of protesters showing up at a Drag Queen Story Hour in Spokane, Washington. Cindy Chadwick is the county librarian at San Lorenzo, and she said it was all in front of the children and it frightened them. We had parents and children there who wanted to come to this event and chose to be there, and to have program and to have people come in and try to intimidate those folks and us from trying to do a program like this was just beyond the pale for me. So, among other things, because they are who we thought they were, while they were being videoed, they also flashed the WP sign, which, of course, in right-wing circles is a gesture that's been co-opted to mean white power. It used to be the OK sign, but that's if you're pointing with the blade of your hand onward. These guys show it palm on, so that it looks like what it's meant to be, a W and a P for white power. And so here we are, 2022, and it appears that Pride Month is now going to be the focus of right-wing hate going forward. And I guess it's no surprise. Because Pride, first and foremost, is a civil rights movement. It is a liberation movement. It goes back to commemorate the first acts of LGBTQ liberation, both in New York City and in San Francisco. And, at least we don't have the government doing the dirty work now. It's just right-wing thugs. It's misdemeanor conspiracy in Idaho. There had to be some sort of a conspiracy. Maybe California being all civilized and stuff, maybe there could be a conspiracy to deny LGBTQ rights lodged against these punk-ass little shitbirds. Or again, given that it's happening all over the country, maybe it would be worthy of examining as a nationwide conspiracy on a federal basis. Not saying, just saying. Merrick Garland, you're investigating the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and the Free Percenters already. Maybe expand the investigation to see what they're up to now in other attempts to overthrow civil governance in the United States. Because make no mistake, when they go to attack peaceful gatherings of marginalized people, and challenging the authority of civil government to do their job, that's an attack on civil order. At least the way I see it. And it's interesting, of course, at the end of the story about Drag Queen Story, the Drag Queen Story Hour story comes from Vice. And at the bottom of the article, there's a disclaimer. Gavin McInnes was a co-founder of Vice. He left the company in 2008 and has had no involvement since then. He later founded the Proud Boys in 2016. How about that? So, more in Monday. And I have an abiding sense that we will get into we'll get into January 6th. I'm almost certain of it. In fairly short order. A reminder, there is $100 in challenges out there, courtesy of Rico in the quiescent but rapidly warming Berg. And if we can match $100, that'll get us done with everything but $50 of today's fundraising. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rico. And hopefully folks will jump in on that. It'd be wonderful. Randy Radar wants to know, is Pangea the same as Gondwana land? No, it is not. Only Pangea is Pangea. Gondwana land is a subsequent development or a subsequent region. Jeremy in Vermont wants to know, did you see the picture of Greg Asbot of Texas posing, shaking hands, and smiling like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush with the leader and founder of the One Percenters, who's also from Texas? Yeah, that was that, what was it, Joe Biggs or something? Yeah, who was actively involved in the uprising, the insurrection against civil governance in the United States on January 6, 2021. Oh, they're peas in a pod. But yeah, I did see that photo, Jeremy. Thanks for the reminder. Okay, let's pop over to the stress line or to the Skype line rather and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd, how are you?
Hey, lady, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm guessing. I'm guessing Washington Journal's been a little bit past interesting these last few days.
That's an understatement, I would say. yeah. I just have a couple of questions. I'm going to take that call later. I have a couple of questions. What's interesting, like you say, your program is so far ahead of the curve. I remember like yesterday I was in the driveway and there was a caller who had been in the military and we had been talking about the infiltration and tattoos and how many of these folks are involved in white supremacy movements and clubs and whatnot near law enforcement in the military. And that was right after January 6th. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
And here we are. And this is what I don't understand, because you're a white person. Why is
it kind of unavoidably obvious?
Well, I didn't say you were an albino. That would be terrible. But yeah, but why is it that you can't even, people get uncomfortable if you even utter that phrase, right? What is up with that?
Well, which phrase?
White supremacy.
Well, that's because the white supremacists don't like being talked about, and people who are Republican voters don't like being reminded that that's who they're in bed with. And then, white folks over on this side of the aisle were like, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Hate them. I hate Illinois Nazis. Sorry, I keep coming back to that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's not like ethereal. It's not conjecture. It's the E word. We have empirical evidence. So why,
Yeah, it's for real, and I think. From government on down, nobody wants to admit that we have the problem that we have. Because then if we have the problem, then we have to do something about the problem, or else, and this gets a little Alex Jonesy. But I think there are elements within, say, the Pentagon and the executive branch and some members of Congress who know how bad it is. But knowing how bad it is, know how damn near impossible it's going to be to stamp it out. Because if we were really serious about this, we would be investigating to find out where the money's coming from. Because a bunch of goddamn Nazis scrounging around in their khaki pants pockets, do not have the money to fund the kind of things that these people do. This has to be funded, Todd, at considerably higher levels, from considerably deeper pockets. Don't you think?
It would appear that there are some shadow figures funneling. Yeah, because weapons cost money. Bullets, all that, the ammunition, all this stuff. Yes. And It's just, okay, all right. And you actually picked up exactly like my thought process. Because if we all remember, you know, we all pay attention, people who listen to this program, the first attorney general that the last administration, he went through a bunch of them. The first one, he made a point not to mention the facts. Because he was given the report that said the greatest threat to our country, and this is not conspiracy, this is just what the government had concluded, the greatest threat to our country is from internal white power, white supremacist movements, domestic terrorism, but mostly a bunch of white men. But
well, that and remember, I mean, every time that comes up, Todd, I want to put context to it. That report was issued in the very earliest days of the first Barack Obama term in office, probably January, February, March of 2009. And if you recall, a bunch of Republicans said, well, this ain't goddamn fair. This is just singling out your political opponents for persecution. We love America just like everybody else loves America. We just love it a little bit wider. I mean, they didn't say that part. But what's important to note is the report was actually commissioned and compiled during the second George W. Bush term. It was a right-wing Republican presidency that learned and wanted to know about these threats. I'm sure George W. and, you know, Dick Cheney before he dicks you, I'm sure they were convinced that the report would say that, homegrown Muslim terrorists are a threat to, but it came back white-wing neo-Nazi, white supremacist, and then they made sure that it didn't come out until the Obama administration, and then, God damn it, and this is the part that makes me want to eat dirt and run rabbits and drink pee and put onions in my socks. Then the Obama administration said, okay, we take it back. We're sorry. We didn't mean to offend the little Nazis. Golly gee, that was so bad of us. Fuck!
See? What? That feeds into the guns and Bible thing. That one president had to talk about. You see, now look where we are. I mean, it's just the truth. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry that your brother, your sister, you, whoever, not you, but this is where we are. It's not how, you know, maybe we don't want to stay here, but this is what we are. This is who we are as a country. And, it's frightening. And the people are, I see it on the road. These people, man, it's some shit about to pop off. These motherfuckers, I had a motherfucker in this big ass pickup truck. He didn't have it right away, nothing. Just barreled out. You know, he see my black face, he went and hit me. You know, fuck that.
Yeah, not because it's any, not because you're, it's just, yeah, you're alive.
Broad daylight. All this shit is related.
And it all comes from the same place. These are Republicans. These are motivated people. They go out and vote.
They go out.
I mean, if you were into doing like serious investigative work, you could take the names of every one of these 31 little pissant motherfuckers, and you'd find out that they voted in 2020. And they voted in 2016, and in the states where you can find it out, you would find that they are goddamn well-registered Republicans or independents. There's not going to be a bunch of Democrats in there.
Oh, you brought that shit up. Oh, and just a little tangent here. And yes, you're right. And yes, you know, this voter thing, let's remember, let's be very clear and concise about this shit, clear-headed. Once again, it doesn't matter. Two things here. It doesn't matter how many ballots come to your fucking house. It doesn't matter if somebody's stuffing a box. Only one vote will be tallied because this is 2022. One of the simplest functions of a computer is to throw out a duplicate. They've been able to do that since 1939. So I don't want to hear that shit. Just fucking toss that shit out. That's in state and local. Now, it gets more complicated if you're like a Republican with some money that has, oh, you know, you got your mountain house, your beach house, you know, your little weird house, your party house, and then your, you know, your lake house. Because like Mark Meadows, he's registered how many places? Three places?
What, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia?
See, I don't hear enough about that. So they need to shut the fuck up. You know, where's the sock with the pennies in it? Come on. I mean, seriously, that argument, you know, don't use that fucking argument. Where is the liberal media on this?
Well, we're talking about something that's too deep for them to drill into. I mean, that would actually involve...
That's not that goddamn deep. That is not deep.
It don't matter that it's not that deep. It's too deep. That's work. That's nerding around in the courthouse like some... like some, you know, low-rent police police blotter cub reporter. I mean, you're not out there making $100,000 to $200,000, half $1 million a year as a member of the multimillionaire for-profit media to go nosing around in some dusty-ass book in a courthouse.
I just find this curious, though.
I think you were about to say bitch please, weren't you?
Well... you know, it's always in the back of my mind. Anyway, I keep that card. That card's always ready. Look, but I mean, this Mark Meadows thing, you know, that didn't get enough airplay for me. You know, I'm not satisfied. That shit needs to be mentioned every fucking day because it appears to me, and I'm quite sure the evidence, you know, the empirical evidence would indicate that the voter fraud, whatever you want to call it, malfeasance, has been committed by more people who vote for conservatives than not. That's just the evidence. Now, I'm going to do some research on that. Then the next time I talk to you, I'm going to have some hard evidence, but it appears that way. But they just, you know, they just don't like the fact that America is browning. And see, all this shit is...
and gaying.
And gay, right?
Because see, one of the things that really has them shit in their pants right now is that in the youngest, in one of the younger demographics, you know, the 20-somethings right now, the 20-something around 20% of the 20-somethings identify as LGBTQ.
I believe that.
And you know, it may be because when the walls finally come tumbling down, people feel freer to be who they are, and they don't have to hide behind some patriarchal derived horseshit gender and sexuality identity.
You know, I
they don't have to do what I had to do for 40 plus years. They can just be themselves right here, right now.
Don't you feel better? You're all freed up. You're freed the fuck up.
Oh, hell yeah. I can't tell you.
But see, I love women. So what the hell? They don't have
shit. Well, so do I.
It's like, it had nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, do your thing. Be happy. guess that's more pussy for me. I mean, really, this, I mean, if you want to break it down stupid like these people are, they don't even fucking get it. Who cares? That's your business. Because you're still feeling, you know, come on, man. You can't tell people how to fucking live and who they are.
But you understand, ever since, ever since about 1700 BCE, the patriarchy has been telling people how to live.
Oh, don't be going to the B book. Don't be going.
You know all that take them beyond the city gates and stone them until they are dead. Shit.
All right.
And you know thou shalt not eat a prawn, or lest thou be taken outside the city gates and stoned to death. Oh, it's interesting you would bring that up, because I got it. This is off the beaten path. But News Ninja Gene sent this along, and it's a fascinating story. I remember being in college in my anthropology class and learning about prehistory and the origins of civilization such as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the term Fertile Crescent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
rise of sedentary agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing about a place called, and I remember hearing about a place called in what is now Turkey called Çatalhöyük,
mm-hmm.
which was a community, a center or something. And that was really about the last I heard of it, because I don't have a reason to really keep, but no, News Ninja Gene. Hey, Gene. Hi, Gene. Hi, Anne. Sent me a story. Turkish hilltop where civilization began.
Mm.
All right, well, shit, I'm going to read this. On a sunblasted hillside in southeast Turkey, the world's oldest known religious sanctuary is slowly giving up its secrets. And it's been excavated since 2013 or earlier. It's called Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
And it's turning into a huge tourist site, and it's thus far unexcavated enough that there may be other Göbekli Tepes on hillside. They don't know if it was ever even inhabited. It may have just been a religious shrine that Stone Age people came to.
You know, the person that we don't like, but he had good guess on, because he's just a racist right-wing gunhead, Art Bell. But he had, and it's funny, because this woman was from Bucks County near Philly. And she was an investigative reporter. And she's the first person I heard of. This is like 15 years ago. And she uncovered what you're talking about. Because there are pristine ruins.
Yeah, well, this thing says thousands of our prehistoric ancestors gathered around its highly decorated T-shaped megalith pillars to worship more than 7,000 years before Stonehenge or the earliest Egyptian pyramids. Sean Lawrence, assistant professor of history at my alma mater, Harvard on the Mon, West Virginia University, told Agence France-Presse, its significance is hard to overstate. And so the history of human settlement probably began around there about 12,000 years ago, like 10,000 BCE, okay? This is pre-writing. This is pre-Sumer, Akkad, Babylon, any of that.
All that. The Persians.
I mean, the Egyptians were still scratching. The Egyptians were still scratching around and fighting with the vultures, you know, for what the jackals didn't want. And these folks were building shit.
Wait a minute. You heard the recent news now that the accredited people, the accredited researchers now are finally saying what the French folks have been saying now for years. We probably came from Mars. They're finally saying it out loud now. You know.
No. We are not going Art Bell on this program.
I'm just telling you, man, the people have they talked about it before anybody else did. Now it's coming up. It's just, look, I follow the facts.
Oh, I used to. What was it? Red Planet, the one? Is that the one that ends with all the little starships heading?
Richard Hoagland. Look, everybody.
Yeah, I get all teary-eyed every time I see that.
But, I mean, some of that shit is true, but some of it's not.
Apparently Japanese researchers looking at comet stuff I don't have the technical language. Comet stuff?
No, I'm not laughing at that.
Of course you aren't. The Japanese researchers said that the comet stuff shows signs of beginnings of life. And then, of course, there's the Google AI that the engineer got suspended for saying had come to life.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know how he sorted it out. I'm guessing that the Google AI machine ordered a bunch of shit from the Home Shopping Network.
That's crazy.
Although if that's a sign of intelligence, we've got a real problem. But no,
starting off on the bad foot, isn't it?
Yes. Well, at least it's not a Nazi yet.
Not yet.
That usually takes a couple of days. But this story about Göbekli Tepe.
Göbekli Tepe.
The origins of human civilization are to be found in Bekli. No, they're not. No, there's nothing but chain restaurants over there. I brought this all up because
how did we get here? What the fuck?
Well, work with me here. Because I mentioned the patriarchy, and you said don't mention the B word. And that reminded me of this, right? Because every now and then, I mean, I love to read these science articles, in part because I love the information, but also in part because journalism writing about science is comically bad. And so I got way down into the article.
Wait a minute, Robin, that's a great point. No, that is...
Read all the science articles. You're going to find a real knee slapper in there somewhere, almost without fail.
Can't you see that? Like, you got a deadline. It's like, oh, I'll just my fallback. I'll just make
well, and it's up. Because there are no editors anymore. Did it make it past spell check and grammar check? Yeah, publish it. What the fuck?
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
And so we get to here. Now, get to hockey puck. Turkey. And by the way, they recently have officially changed their name. Their public name to the rest of the world is going to match what they call themselves all along. I'm all for that, obviously. Turkey. And it finally dawned on them that what the rest of the world was calling them was the same thing that Americans eat every Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah. I have no doubt. And if you go to Greece, you don't see the word Greece. You see Hellenos, because they are Hellenes.
That's what I was going to say. They're Hellenic. Right.
Yeah, I'm sure that maybe one of these days they'll figure out that what we've been calling them for 2,000 years is the shit that we fry stuff in and harden our arteries with. But never mind, at least it's not spelled the same. And Greece is not the word, not the word, not the word. Oh, shame on me.
They are not from triglycerides.
They are not at all they are Hellenes, not hydrogenated. Never mind. So we are you done yet? You okay now? Did we lose?
Ah.
Not before you spread it to me, God. Are you done yet? Ah! So we get to this passage again, and this falls into the Morian Monday journalism is dead department. Turkey, which in the past has not been renowned for making the best of its vast archaeological heritage, has wholeheartedly embraced the discoveries. The items excavated from the Göbekli Tepe are shown in the impressive archaeological museum in the nearest city, Sanliurfa, which is itself so ancient that Abraham is believed to have been born there. Oh, stop it! Just stop. Yeah! God! You know, once upon a time in the ancient world, you couldn't turn a corner without finding a building that somebody said some demigod or little godling was born in. I mean, that's how Christianity rises up. Yeah, you know, but at the time that Yeshua came along, there were statues all over the Levantine world showing various and sundry Romans and Greeks that bore the inscription "Common Savior of Humanity" underneath it. Being the Savior,
right,
was sort of a condition precedent to being a big damn deal in your brand new cult. But I'm losing the thread there. Oh.
No.
This,
you know what?
You could have written this entire article without that entirely specious aside about, and you know, the locals think that Abraham was born there. I mean, for God's sakes, the first five books of the Bible.
Everybody was Abraham. Abraham was. Come on.
I'm Abraham, and so is my wife. Yes.
And she's Abraham, and her daughter's Abraham, but...
I'm Spartacus.
Yeah. I am Spartacus.
See, you had to get away from the phone for that one.
Well, I didn't want to fuck your ears up.
But that article would have been just fine without the red herring of Abraham. Which the book of Genesis, which was largely lifted from the Epic of Gilgamesh, for Christ's sakes. Well, Abram was born in Ur of the Chaldees, not Sanliurfa fucking Turkey. Which, of course, assumes that either one of them even goddamn existed. And of course, this would be the same Abram who gets renamed Abraham because he's on the lamb. Abraham on the lamb.
Children of Ham.
No, lay off that. We're not going there this evening.
No.
But you know, Abraham goes wandering down into Egypt. Pharaoh takes one look at his hot wife and says,
Jesus. "Oh,
so that's your wife?" And Abraham says,
"She's too good for you."
And Abraham says, "Nah, that's my sister." And Pharaoh goes, "Really? Your sister?" "Yeah, that's my sister." "Well, come here, honey. Pharaoh's got something for you." And the next thing you know, there's there's all kinds of plagues all over Egypt, and he calls the priests in, and they go, "Well, of course there's plagues all over Egypt. You're banging another man's wife." And he goes, "What? He said she was his sister." Fuck!
Famous last words. "I got something for you." See how this shit starts. Don't ever, if anybody ever says to you, "I got something for you," unless you're really...
Go the other way. That Abraham, Sanliurfa. I'm sure if you travel to Sanliurfa, you can buy a little Abraham shot glass to take home to Ma.
But it's in the Bible. See, the Bible's a funny fucking thing. I got to the point.
You realize that stuff. "But it's in the Bible" is the original "I read it on the internet," right? It's in the Bible. It must be true. I saw it on the internet. It must be true.
Where's your cowbell, man? Come on.
Really? I'm getting cowbells out of this?
That's a cowbell. That ain't no Gnir either. Don't, that ain't no wandering fucking...
No, that's no Gnir.
That's no Gnir.
But like light speed, loop this all back around. It's the patriarchy. Yeah, and Jeremy in Vermont says Robin Todd from Robin's favorite movie of all time due to its historical correctness, The 300. This is Sparta. Oh, and by the way, since we were talking about Nazis, Ron and Raleigh says always remember not all white people are Nazis, but all Nazis are white people. White people need to come to grips with this simple fact. Black Republican Vernon Jones, running for Congress in Georgia, says that white men are the most discriminated against people in America.
Let me say this about
Ronald. I think Vernon Jones has been disinvited to the cookout. Am I right?
Damn. They better not. Look, Ron and Raleigh, let me explain this about Ron. Ron lives, his house has to accommodate the massive mahogany chair that he sits in with velvet cushions. It's probably like, I don't know, 15 feet tall.
Wait, are you going to tell me there's Courvoisier involved?
Yeah, you know, I mean, seriously, yeah. Exactly. He go goblet, like what's that, you know, the rapper dude? Yeah, like that. You know, because Ron's fans, look, Ron ain't no joke. I can see him now. He sits up there in his high chair, and he cast down. This is right. This is wrong. This is it. This is not. But he's right. That's a fucked up thing. I ain't fucking with Ron.
You can't get around it. It's not all white people are Nazis, but all Nazis are white people.
No, I love Ron.
I love Ron to pieces.
Oh, and speaking of Nazi, I mean, I've said this, I can't, countless times that we've talked, because I think we've only been talking, I've only called two times, I think, in my life. Yeah. So, you didn't laugh? That's fucked up. Anyway, when Charlottesville happened, see, that was the time for us to stop as a country and say, wait a minute. We should have had 2 days just slow the fuck down, lower the flags, and acknowledge that we got a problem. That's some bullshit. We let that shit fester.
But instead, Nitwit Nero stood there and said, stand down and stand by.
Well, and now we see. And now we, you know, and it won't even matter. That's the thing. What is coming out now will not matter to a statistically significant, what appears to be, it's impossible almost to run the numbers, but it appears to be a statistically significant portion of this country and more who are okay with this. And that's the fucking problem. And now they're changing the rules. And we talked about this. You see, now we have to vote. Anytime you can vote, vote. Because it's about local shit now, because these state houses, we have to take over the state houses again. This is bullshit. They're trying to change the rules where they can say, I don't like that. That electoral, nope, we're not doing it. That's what they're up to now. This is beyond.
I mean, forgive me, but I'm going to say this.
What?
I think, you know, these people being who they are and what the current, you know, the current fundraising goal and the current issue of the day is, you know, Texas has become an LGBTQ sundown state. Damn. Alabama has become an LGBTQ sundown state.
That's fucked up.
Does that make sense to you?
I mean, that makes sense, but I believe that.
In 2022, the LGBTQ community needs a rainbow book. You know, like the Green Book.
This rewriting history. I'm sorry, you know, it makes people feel uncomfortable, and that's too bad. But Even here, I'm going to tell you.
Why the hell is anybody uncomfortable when somebody who has nothing to do with them is merely living their goddamn life?
Well, that's exactly. That's the fucking point. What do they have to do with you? Like, literally, what does it, people live in their lives?
I mean, it's an offense to have to, it's an offense to have my countenance darken your vision? Is it, what?
See, now you know what it's like to be a nigga. See? But I'm just saying, you know.
Well, you know what? I'm going to do something here. Probably regret it. May get shit for it, but stand by. That's for that. But of course, I don't.
I get
it. I don't.
Right.
But it is a little soupçon, if you will. By the way, we got a note from Lady B, Todd, going back to the cops in Coeur d'Alene. And why do cops always have to hold friggin' pressers to announce they were doing their fucking jobs? Okay, you arrested a bunch of racists who planned to perhaps kill people at a gay pride event. Slow, Orson, Wells, Clap, I guess. Technically, maybe they were doing something extra special. God knows, between the January 6th insurrection and the 19 kids blown to smithereens, pulverized, while the chicken shit cops stood outside checking to make sure their balls hadn't already shrunk back up into their pelvis, they did save the day. So they did need some good press. Coeur d'Alene cops prevented a bad thing from happening. That should fix everything. Now let's give them a city holiday and pay increase and more body armor and a new Humvee. There may be a Black Lives Matter protest brewing somewhere. They need to be ready.
Thank you, Lady B.
I wish you weren't so right. On a serious note, maybe cops will start to recognize the threat these militia groups pose. This could fuck up
They're the same. They are.
This could fuck up everybody's game. It's more than likely many in the force belong to these groups anyway.
That's a fucking. Let me say this, and Lady B, thank you. And this is, we got to peel back this onion a little bit, because not long ago, I was in the Capitol. The capital of my state, downtown.
And Columbia, you know, the gem of the ocean. No, I'm singing right. Again.
These fuckers don't play around. You don't want to get pulled over by Richmond County. You don't. I mean, these fuckers have AKs. I mean, they're sure. They're like military. Like, literally, I got pulled over one time, and I yelled. I was like, "What?" I let me calm down. I said, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" The one deputy, the guy in charge is cool, but the little deputy, man, he was like, he was cracked up or something, man, like he was on coke. Oh, hyped up. I was like, I didn't get it. We are him. I was like, what is wrong with you? Calm down. I said, what the fuck? I'm sitting here in shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt. Well, how can I harm you? Calm down. Seriously. I was like, you need to calm the fuck down. I told him that. That's the word I use. Calm the fuck down. And the lieutenant in charge, he was like, yeah, well, I got. And everything was fine. I got away from there. It was all about my headlights. But what I'm saying is that.
Oh, it always is.
Well, and it's true. But I was like, well, what am I to do? I can't stay here. You know, I got this, the car malfunctioning since I just started just now. Like, what am I to do? But anyway, beyond that, the reason I brought this up, not long ago, I saw a group of these folks. I don't think they were. I think they were county, Richland County, right? So they were county police, but they were in like just a regular looking bread truck, and they were all militarized out, like they were in Iraq or some shit. They had the helmets on, the guns, all this ammunition and shit, the AKs, and they're just in the back of the truck. And it was a hot. It was a hot day, real hot. So they had the bag open. I'm like, oh. That's what they do when they raid these meth houses. You know, they just roll up real fast, like the Jump Out Boys. You know, the city, it's a car, but out here, it's a big van. And that's the mentality of these people. See, they have militarized the police, but they want to enforce that on some people and not others. And, you know, but this shit is all, it's all mixed together now with the white supremacy. And we know this. It's not like speculation. Because, you know, when we started looking at this stuff with Michael Brown and looking at the postings that people had on Facebook who were involved in law enforcement, it's like, oh, okay. So how can I trust you to be unbiased when I see this is how you feel? Because remember,
Most people are average, and the caveat is, and below. Most people are average and below. That's what average is, which means that you can't count on them being unbiased. They just don't have the inclination, training, education, nothing. It's not there. So we had to tread. Yeah, I don't know what to say now. If you notice how people are driving now, don't you notice how people are all aggressive and tailgating?
Yeah, Annette noticed it first, and she's like, people have lost their freaking minds. And even here, where there's not a hell, everybody's having their whole, you know, NASCAR Dale Earnhardt, if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing moment. And every now and then you'll see one of the local constabularies pulled over somebody with a Canadian plate. They figure they're safe.
A Canadian? Because they don't have no guns on them. Huh?
They don't got no guns, and they'll just pay the fine and move on and go back to Ontario, damn it. Two things. Let me finish up what Lady B said. On a serious note, maybe cops will start to recognize the threat these militia groups pose. This could fuck up everybody's game. It's more likely many of in the force belong to these groups anyway. Maybe they're hearing about the hearings and realize that they may be under extra scrutiny themselves. If Merrick, God please motivate him to get his ass moving, Garland decides he needs to send the DOJ to a few small towns to set these boys straight, there may be a slight chance, next to a snowball's chance in hell, that the incels, Proud Boys, One Percenters, QAnoners, and people of the land, you know, morons, may get weeded out of police forces. A black woman can dream. Yeah. But yeah, maybe folks are taking these clowns seriously now. It's fine if your uncle owns several guns, a bit sociopathic, but fine in America. It's not fine if he also belongs to a militia. Put it together, folks. Owning multiple weapons isn't just a hobby. It might lead to an unnecessary and totally biased reason to want to overthrow the government. That. Thank you, Lady B. And then this. And thank you, Liz, for sending this along. From Bryn Tannehill, who is an expert in American extremism. Her latest book was called American Fascism. She said, just got off the phone with a source in law enforcement. We narrowly avoided a massacre in Coeur d'Alene. Now, she tweeted this at 2:27 p.m. this afternoon. We narrowly avoided a massacre in Coeur d'Alene. The 31 Patriot Front, read white supremacist fascists responsible for Charlottesville, were planning for massive violence, not just confrontation. The 31 PF members had blunt instrument weapons and were planning on bludgeoning people attending Pride. I'm told that most, if not all, had concealed firearms. This was for dealing with anyone who was armed or fought back. They were stopped solely by lucky breaks. One, a hotel employee who saw them saddling up and called the police. Two, the Coeur d'Alene police didn't side with Patriot Front and took the call seriously. If they'd been in the tank with PF like at Kenosha, it would have been horrific. I'm told that three of the PF people are going to be charged with illegal firearms possession because they were felons. I was worried about mass violence at Pride going into this. I was right. Law enforcement is monitoring a surge in right-wing chatter against LGBT people. I've been predicting for a while that as things deteriorate, groups like Patriot Front, Three Percenters, Proud Boys, etc., will increasingly function as Sturmabteilung, you know, the SA, the brown shirts. This becomes increasingly possible as law enforcement is infiltrated or captured by the right wing. Postscript, I'm also told that the Patriot Front members there had come from all over the region to participate, as far away as Virginia. They'd been planning this in advance for a while and were pulling people from around the U.S. Not quite unite the right, but definitely coordinated, planned. But so far, they are only charged with misdemeanor conspiracy to riot.
See? It's so much on this.
Well, and look, I want to say this right. What they were engaged in was a conspiracy to violate the civil rights of American citizens. But you see, in order for the feds to be able to act on that, LGBTQ people would have to be included in the protected classes within the meaning of the Civil Rights Act and its...
But that sounds like a hate crime.
...criminal component. Well, wait, please, internalize what I just said. This is a conspiracy to violate the civil rights of American citizens. The only problem is the American citizens whose civil rights they plan to violate do not have civil rights protections under federal law. That's why we talk about things like liberation.
Messed up.
Gay and trans, queer, lesbian, bi are not a protected class. Because among other things, you know, the Democrats would like to make it a protected class. They've tried and tried and tried and every time and you know, and then the barking and the grunting and the hooting starts up from the people the Patriot Front fucking votes for.
Saying, wait a minute, how is it not? Wait a minute, I don't understand that. I thought that has to be.
No, you can get all you can get all gay married on you can get all gay married on Sunday and be on all fired on Monday. You can discriminate against a trans woman for wanting to rent an apartment.
Because
every time Democratic legislators try to extend civil rights protections to the LGBTQ community, some good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, hate-monger, says, no, what you're doing there is you're violating my First Amendment right to hate the fuck out of these people. You're taking away my religious liberty. My God tells me to hate them.
But wait a minute, when they go in their little conventions and stuff, that's the first thing they seek out, is some little freaky shit. And then some dope, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're kind of...
on the down low, baby, on the down low. Discreet.
Not this street, that street, discreet.
Discreet, yeah. Oh, there's a lot of trans girl sex workers out there who spend a lot of time and a lot of risk being some straight white dude's dirty little secret.
Yeah, they're the worst. You know, that's they're the worst kind. It's like, you know, if you want to be gay, just so what? No, who gives a fuck?
Well, but, you know, the hilarious thing is a straight guy who gets it on with a trans girl is engaged in straight sex. I know. Mind blown.
But, you know, the Proud Boys are the brown shirts.
Yeah, they are. You know, and the Free Percenters and the Oath Capers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how fucked up these people are. Cops pulling over these people, Christopher in Oregon says, now, Robin and Todd, it's not fair to say cops will pull over persons of color for a headlight out always. Sometimes it's due to a side mirror out of alignment. Oh, I know, Christopher, I know.
I'll never forget that.
I think your windows there are tinted a little bit too dark.
Man, I was driving a Volvo, and, I mean, seriously, it had no tinted windows. I mean, like, I thought
oh, Jesus, if you're driving a Volvo, it may as well have you know, Hellman's mayonnaise stickers on the side.
I was like, really? I mean, I was, but thank God the guy.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that was camouflage. You were driving a Volvo. You were.
I heard you.
Oh, you were trying to pass.
No, I heard.
You were trying to pass as a white suburban housewife.
Listen, that I learned to drive in that car. That car, let me tell you something. That car had about 300,000 miles on it, and it was the only reason that I got rid of it. It wouldn't lock any longer.
That fucker. I was trying to sell it to somebody who has an estate out here because that was a great car. Oh, God. It was straight drive, man. DL. Man, I learned to drive on that motherfucker. That's a sturdy.
I know. I take it all. I take it all back. But, you know, the Volvo jokes write themselves. We got somebody on the stress line. Let's find out who. Hey, welcome to the program. You've been really patient.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
God, Dal, how are you?
Is this Jerry?
This is me.
Okay, your audio's a little weird.
Yeah, I'm on a phone call.
How about now? Is this better?
Decidedly.
Is that Scary Jerry? Is that Scary Jerry?
That's Scary Jerry, the one and only.
And that's Volvo Todd. Awesome.
I heard him laugh.
So that's Volvo Todd.
Yeah, you've been renamed, Todd. You're Volvo Todd.
You remind me of Gus from Breaking Bad, driving a Volvo. As soon as I saw that, I wanted a Volvo. It really did. So, you know what? This feels like we're at South Beach. Robin's just put on a show. Me and Todd are security, and we're out back smoking cigarettes, laughing at the customers.
I love that.
That's what this feels like. All right, go. I'm going to put you on mute for about a minute. I'm actually in a Walgreens bathroom. I'll holler at you in about 60 seconds. Hold on.
Okay, so... South Beach, just put on a show. I mean, was there one of those Carmen Miranda hats involved? I don't know how I feel about that.
Yes, Carmen Miranda hat. Gold bananas, yes.
Yes.
You fruit basket.
Banana. Okay, that's sufficient payback for Volvo Todd. Bananas and mangoes all piled to the sky. There's another Jimmy Buffett reference. They don't dance like Carmen no more.
Jerry, how are you, man?
I don't know. I had a vision about if all my job was fighting under the double of the diaper, the stars and bars there, I think I'm going to have to fight under the rainbow flag. You know, one of the vegan pot smoking ninjas. And that's how I feel, because there's something going on in Oregon. I don't even think the shootings are rampant anymore. I don't.
Say again? Lost you.
I'm having trouble hearing Jerry. I don't know about you.
I am too.
Can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me now? Did I straighten up there?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. I said I had a vision that one day I'd be fighting under the rainbow flag. Not because I'm LGBTQ, because I'm fighting against the double diaper people.
There is truth in what you say. There is truth in what you say. Yeah.
Because we're fractionalizing here and factionalizing, and they're jumping up and down, and not going to do it. See, I want to turn them back to what happened about 100 or so years ago in Haiti or Jamaica, where a bunch of former slaves without weapons or training told the oppressors, all right, that's it. It's time for y'all to go. Y'all can go easy or slow. And that happened. Happened in Jamaica, happened more violently in Haiti. So for any maggots out there who think this is going to be a pushover, we're all armed now. And we got feelings. Choose wisely. And I'm a pacifist. But lately I've been shopping guns.
Hey, Jerry.
Because you never know.
You know what? You brought up Haiti like that. And there's a reason why that is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. That is, can you imagine? That's the only country, black country, they said, get the fuck out. We don't want you. And they've been suffering ever since. Ever since they kicked the oppressors out. And they have been shit on.
It's crazy. I got Haitian friends, man. And you remember, the other side of that island, is, you know, it's not just Haiti. They split that island with another group of people.
Oh, it's the Dominican Republic, who don't think they're African based. The whole thing is crazy. I'm in Little Haiti in North Miami right now, and on my way back to Little Jamaica. And I love the soup bowl we got going here, because if the crazy people in the lifted trucks come through, they're gonna have to come through heavy.
Right.
And you know what? I have to think that way. I hate that I have to move those strategic blocks around in my head. I hate that all the rage that I've suppressed since living in the Bronx has come to the surface and it's actually useful. Bugs the shit out of me. But you can't sleep. You know, come put the demon out the bag. Here we are. No, I'm in North Miami Beach right now. I'm in North Miami Beach. I'm about 10 miles from Liberty City.
Okay, so you're going to
as it's being gentrified. Yeah, I'm right on the county line.
Because you know, I had a very close. I spent some, you know, like one of my closest female friends. Like I've spent time down there, and I'll never forget. Like, and she was wealthy. Her people were wealthy, and they lived on Biscayne Bay, right? I'm not going to say this.
There you go.
They park.
Oh, wait.
Anything else?
We have a Steely Dan reference. Biscayne Bay, where the Cuban gentlemen sleep all day.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man. They people park like they park you. You park your boat.
I went searching for the last piaster I could borrow.
Man. Look, I will never forget. So after about 3 days, I was there for a few weeks. And her parents were getting split up. So it was just the maid and me and her in the house mostly. And the boat and the cars and all that. And one day she loved Burger King. So we went out, she said, "You know, Todd, you know who really runs Miami, don't you?" And I looked at her, and remember, she's a Jap, Jewish American princess, right? And she said, "You know who runs Miami?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "The Jews and the Cubans." And I was like, "Oh." Because remember, those Castig... See, Jerry? See, you live there. Am I lying?
Yep. I work at a synagogue, guys. Yeah. I want to be down with the program when it goes. Oh, you know, the funniest look that I've seen in the last 12 months is the Jews all realizing, hey, maybe Trump will push us in the oven. Because they all voted for Trump. And I'm like,
they're trying to
guys,
the money.
What the hell are you doing? Huh? And I wanted to ask him, oh, so it's okay if you're running the Holocaust. Is that what's going on here, guys? But I like my job, so I won't even say that. Put voice to face. This is an anonymous call. Right, Jerry? Guys? Right? Right?
Oh, there's nobody listening, Jerry. Nobody's listening.
We have forgotten. See, all this stuff we're talking about in terms of what's going on now with the economy, we have forgotten that the media is not talking about that last administration, that crooked-ass administration, gave the wealthy folk a 20% pay raise. They got a 20% tax cut permanent. 20%. What if you went to work? Let's say you make $10 an hour. Now, oh, no, here, you got a bump up. For what? Just because. You know, come on, 20%? Who the fuck gets a 20% pay raise? And now they're price gouging us. That's what I don't fucking like. They got their cream off the top, and now shit is tight, and they're gouging us on top of that. Fuck them.
Nah, shit is tight on purpose. I responded to somebody today, and they had nothing to say. They go, "Oh, this is worse than $5 gas." I go, "Well, when you fire missiles at an oil producer, this tends to happen. Fucking Iran was pumping 12 million barrels of oil a day. They went offline. Saudi Arabia picked up the slack, and now they're fucking playing games. This whole fucking thing's a game. It all is. I mean, Biden ain't the greatest. But shit.
I can't. Hold on here. I cannot believe.
What are Robert going to do about it? You can't do something.
I cannot believe that we are not even a year and a half removed from Nitwit Nero, and now we're saying, I love you, Jerry, but now we're saying, you know, Biden's not the greatest. What the fuck, man?
He's not, but he's trying. His heart's in the right place.
I mean,
with a little help, he'd be okay. I wish he would executive order cannabis and debt. Stop being so helpless, man. Do what you got to do. They're going to hate you one way or another. One thing, there's two things I was thinking about Trump. I was like, you know what? He stayed in touch with his people. And if his people jumped up and down about something, he did it, regardless of how stupid it was.
Well, right. I mean, if it was diabolical and evil and hateful and mean and vicious, well, you know, the cruelty was the point, and he was down for it. But no, you.
I'm sorry.
I can't get Biscayne Bay out of my head. I got to do this. We got to just have this moment, okay? Bear with me. Stand by.
Hey, come on.
It's gonna earworm me.
Katie tried. I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piaster I could borrow. All night long, we would sing that stupid song. And every word we sang, I knew was true.
Woo!
Are you with me, Dr. Wu? Are you really just a shadow of the man that I once knew? Are you crazy? Are you high? Or just
one of the Brecker brothers. That's one of the Brecker brothers. You know, I cannot believe that there are people out there who hate Steely Dan. And I was married to one of them for 28 years. But I love her anyway.
Damn, man. I know Annette don't like that, but that's too bad. That's
hold on. Here it comes. I got to get the line out of the way or it's going to stay in my brain all night.
I've been waiting for the taste you said you'd bring to me. Biscayne Bay, where the Cuban gentlemen sleep all day. I went searching for the song you used to sing to me. Katie lies, you can see it in her.
God, I love those lyrics, the music, I know, I'm an old girl waxing poetic about, you know, shit from 1975. Get Don on the phone. Where are those pictures I was supposed to see?
It's just the mood, man. Come on, I'm sorry.
I mean, the piano, the word portrait, I mean, strung out here all night, waiting for the taste you said you'd bring to me. I mean, has there ever been a more beautiful song about being a freaking junkie?
Man, look, they're just telling the truth in a nice way, like Kid Charlemagne. You listen to that shit. I know these people.
Gaucho?
What is... And that's the only problem I have with her, man. That's fucking...
By the way, Robin, your music show a couple of weeks ago, that was awesome.
Which one was that?
I think it was on Wednesday, premiering Wednesday.
Oh.
Where you just said, fuck it, I'm playing music.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to come find me?
Yeah. Well, I think I just did that again. I can't, I'm trying to think of when, you know, I think I had, I think I, 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 I think I had my Steely Dan epiphany like somewhere around 11th grade, not 10th grade. And started paying attention, and like, you know, oh my God, and
because
and the idea I'm that sorry. There and I don't know, it, you know, this may be some shit out of Tiger Beat or something, but the idea that like the Eagles hated Steely Dan and Steely Dan hated the Eagles.
Tiger Beat.
You know, and that line in Hotel California, they stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. Well, Steely is the reference to Steely Knives. Steely, it's a Steely Dan slur or something. I don't know. But God, those lyrics.
Talking about real shit, man. Just like when the song where he's talking about being at Amherst.
Oh, yeah. My old school.
I mean, that's real shit.
My old school.
Right. I mean, that people did that. That people like. Let me tell you something. Newport bars. Okay, I'm telling you, been there, done that.
Oh, I know. And over on the Nightfly album, which God knows I love, and I know Lady B loves. There, you know, the surf was easy on the day I came to stay in this quiet island in the bay. There's been talk and lately a little action after dark behind the big casino by the beach. That's the goodbye look.
But you know what? We approach this like deadheads approach the dead. And I was late coming into the dead.
I was a deadhead. Go easy.
I missed the last Deadhead concert in Miami at the old Miami Arena, and I missed Prince in 1985.
Ooh.
I really should have went to that. Yeah. Like, really should have went to that.
I remember getting into the Pittsburgh Civic Arena late because the line was so long, and the Dead had already started their set, and my buddy and I went bebopping up the ramp at the old Civic Arena as they were playing Bertha, singing Bertha at the top of our lungs.
I remember being the only black guy at a Rush concert in Alabama after I snuck
shit.
Christian college. Yeah, that's me.
Okay, so I've got you. Now, wait, I got you on the line.
Well, that's some dangerous shit, Jerry. That's some dangerous shit.
Well, I'm surprised Rush ever even played Alabama, but, you know.
What a show that was! Oh my God!
I'll bet. Now, Lady B wasn't able to help because she doesn't have iTunes or Apple Music or whatever they're calling it these days. I got to find somebody who can help me with my problem, and find out if it's just, you know, my personal algorithm screwed up, or is Apple Music screwed up? And I haven't gotten much in the way of a response, because I guess maybe there's not that many people who use Apple Music anymore. But this business of being played Free Will by Rush every time I ask for Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms is beginning to annoy me a little bit.
Maybe you should ask for Free Will.
Did that?
That sounds local.
I did that.
Local,
I did that,
that
and I got
sound.
Free Will.
I hate to inform you, but this Apple, divorce yourself from that shit. I'm telling you, it is. They play shit. They make me. This shit will come on my phone. It's like I don't want to hear that. Why are you coming on my phone?
Oh well, some of it I love. I mean, that Australian girl who lives in my phone knows exactly when I need to hear Christopher Cross.
Wow. That's kind of creepy, actually. Hey, did you hear about the Google engineer that got fired because he said the chatbot is sentient? I think that's significant, people.
Oh, it is. Todd and I were talking about that just a little bit ago. Like I said, I think they figured out it's sentient when it ordered a bunch of shit from the Home Shopping Network. Oh, okay. I love you back. Lady B, I love you back. Dr. Wu, I love you, Robin. I absolutely love you. I just want to hang, you know, Dr. Wu, here at the Western world, dear God, Haitian divorce.
Yep.
So what are we going to do when they indict Trump? That's what I came to call to talk about.
Well, I mean,
Barry, what are you talking about, man? That would disrupt America. You could forget about that.
Headline in the Charleston paper may be naked trans woman seen running, jumping for joy through streets. I mean, but you do you.
Naked trans woman. Hey, I got a LGBT story. Invariably, and this is an old story, but you would watch somebody show up from out of town, you know, someplace very MAGA intensive, and he'd be cursing and screaming out all the, and I use this word artistically, all the fags running around South Beach. He'd be so pissed. Then you would see this person 6 hours later, drunk as hell, trying to get in a fight with somebody. And then 2 hours later from that, he's holding hands with a dude skipping to what was the name of that club? Anyways, think of a big gay club. And I would see that pattern over and over and over again. The people that yell the loudest, you know what I'm saying, people?
Yeah.
To a man. And it would always, at first it was shocking. But to a point, I would just, I would usually walk up to a bunch of gay guys and go, guys, I just wanted to thank you. And they go, why?
Hey,
I go, because
you're
taking all, huh?
You mean like Tom Cotton? Like Tom Cotton?
Like all of them. Like Matt Gaetz, like all of them. Invariably, I go up to a bunch of good-looking gay guys and go, guys, thank you. They go, why? I go, because I'm not nearly as good looking as you guys, and you guys took yourself off the market. Thank you so much. And then all die laughing.
I can guarantee you Tom Cotton's a dick sucker. I mean, I can tell.
Oh, come on. Yeah. That's a little homophobic, Todd. I mean, it.
Well, okay. You know, let me say, you know why I said it like that? Because he's the type
that's
of
why. Fuck. That's why we use BART.
Oh, I'm not gay. I'm not gay.
That's why we use the BART cop language. When we want to say something like that, we say, well, I feel confident that one of these days, Tom Cotton will be caught with a man in his mouth.
I feel confident that he will be caught with many men in his mouth.
And there'll be towels and steam. And Queen playing in the background.
Hey, thank you for the guidance. I appreciate that. No, seriously. I don't want to be offensive. I'm serious. I mean that.
Straight men don't care what gay people are doing. And straight men ain't going to go belly to asshole in a U-Haul and try to touch gay people. That's not what straight men do.
Yeah, that much is a good point.
Robin,
there's no amount of alcohol, drugs, or money. Hey, let's go. No, let's not. Let's go talk to the lesbians. See what's going on. Because I've been to parties with lesbians and confused lesbians and had the time of my life. I was happy I was accepted and allowed to jump up and down with them. I don't understand. Yes, literally, had the time of my life.
That's what I'm saying, Robin. Don't take, listen, I have plenty of lesbian and gay friends and you know, people who don't, you know, they're who they are. But the reason I said it like that is because he's a hypocrite. That's why I said it like that. That's why. That not, and you know, maybe refrain from that then, because it's offensive, I suppose. So, but that's what I'm talking about, because he makes, you know, he's too erudite and just, he's a prick. You know.
Cis gay men are the best matchmakers in the world.
Tom Cotton could be the next president. What?
Well, he's going to have to get through Ron Muckey up to Clantis first.
Oh, jeez, that motherfucker right there. Oh, my God. Ron gives me violent thoughts. I'll be the first to admit it.
But they're violent thoughts Agent Fred, upon which Jerry does not act.
No, I'm doing productive things with that anger. I'm actually working on a bunch of things, but the thing that pops in my head right now is mosquito mitigation in the wake of climate change, because mosquitoes are going nuts.
They got tsetse flies down there. They got tsetse flies down there the size of eagles. You know, right, I took pictures. I would have gotten a Pulitzer for those photos, but I left it in a jacket that I had modernized. sorry. There's never a bad time.
Is Peter Falk still alive?
No.
Is Peter Falk still alive?
No. He died a horrible death many years ago.
Did he? I miss Peter Falk. Did you just kill off Peter Falk? Was he still alive?
No.
All right, what's that movie you're cutting from to? I gotta see that.
The In-Laws. There's never a bad time for it.
That's my next movie. Oh, I also did check out the
tremendous red tape in the bush, Sheldon. Tremendous red tape. Yeah, you see these tsetse flies are protect protected by the Guacamole Act of 1917 against pilferage.
I also checked out Strange New Worlds, the Gorn episode. That was really good.
And you know what? The next one, you know, because they'll go like serious, and they'll give you a little lighthearted one. Lo and behold, the next one, Spock Amok, was really good, too, and it was fun.
Really?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Spock out there trying to get some.
Oh, no, Spock and T'Pring in a body swap? Freaky Friday? Are you kidding me?
You killed it for me, but now I have to watch
it. No, it doesn't. You get that on the front end. I mean, you know, a Vulcan soul sharing gone wrong.
I have to warn and advise the Horn community. Episode 1 of season 3 of The Boys, be ready. It's weird. And I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough.
I was not ready
episode,
for that.
Episode 9 of The Offer. That whole show is just, I'm going to hate for it to end, but I think there's one episode left, and I'm just itching to see it.
In fact, I'm a little traumatized from episode 1 of The Boys. I got to be honest. There's a lot going on there.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there. And it all happens in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, and per Scott's recommendation, we caught up with a couple of episodes of Gaslit. Well, it's hard. You know, it's hard to watch that bunch of fuck-ups, dangerous, deadly fuck-ups. It's hard to watch them and not think that you're just kind of watching, I don't know, the grandparents of the dumb bastards from the maggot movement. That's the thing. A Republican is a Republican is a Republican is a Republican, with all due apologies to Gertrude Stein.
What's the name of the show?
Gaslit.
Gaslit, you said?
Yeah, Gaslit.
And what was the other one?
The Offer.
The Offer, all right.
But Gaslit is, I mean, Sean Penn as John Mitchell. That thing is, it's probably going to be an Emmy and not an Academy Award, but that thing's going to win an Emmy for makeup.
Really?
Yeah. Sean Penn is unrecognizable. If I didn't tell you that he was playing John Mitchell, you would never not once look at the guy playing John Mitchell and go, oh, that's Jeff Spicoli.
Did he do a, what's that guy's name? Best Actor in the World. He did a, Churchill.
Oh, yeah. What, Gary Oldman?
Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more profound.
That motherfucker is a shapeshifter.
It's more profound than that. I'm not kidding.
Really? All right.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, I need to announce we are $35 toward the $150 we need to raise fun nights in Miami. We are
30.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I need to recalculate. We are $45 toward the $150 the $100 that we need to raise. We got $55 to go on Rico and DeBerg's Trump Trader Challenge. Thank you, Rico, and thank you very kindly to Women Standing, and thank you to Ralphs. And thank you so much to an anonymous friend of ours who said, just can't quit you. Here's $25 to pay for the Steely Dan royalties. Thank you.
Damn. That was a little long. That's fucked up.
I'm going to be really annoying after the program this evening because I'm going to listen to Here at the Western World. I'm going to listen to Walk Between the Raindrops. I'm gonna listen to New Frontier. It's just a dugout that my dad built in case the Reds decide to push the button down. She's,
Robin,
she's wearing ambush and a French twist.
I've got to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Robin.
Why is that?
You kicked the closet door open. You kicked the closet door open.
Burned that motherfucker to the ground and scattered the ashes.
You stepped out and did probably one of the most courageous things I've ever seen anybody, or I didn't see it, but heard anybody do, and go, this is who I am. This is how it's been for a while, and I'm tired of living under a shadow. And I've kind of done the same thing in my life. I've decided to go on a no bullshit tour. You know, all the bullshit and the fakery and the holograms I've been living under for 5 decades or so. I've said, you know what? Life is short. You're going to hear what I've done and what I think. And if you're hurt, I don't care. It hurts me carrying the lie. Now, three of my brothers aren't talking. My brother and sisters aren't talking to me, but I've started a relationship with my dad's wife, which caused stress over the last 10 years. Everybody completely full of shit. And I was like, you know what? Dad's 88 years old. All right? Stop the fuckery. He's happy. This woman's taking care of him, and none of y'all are equipped to take care of anybody. And I told the truth, and now I'm ostracized. Fuck them. I got two fingers for them. You're my family. Todd's my family.
God love you, Jerry. The Horn family, the Horn family community congregation is a family. As we saw last Friday, we squabble a little bit. Families do. But we managed to keep it together. At least I hope we do. By the way, speaking of family, Jude wrote in a little bit ago, the spiritual advisor to the Horn family, and said, Jude said, being reminded in the midst of how grounding it is hearing you three, even as it deals with our harsh reality of current days. So I offer Rumi, the wonderful Sufi poet Rumi. Some human beings are safe havens. Be companions with them. Yes, says Jude, a safe haven of truth and substance. And I love that.
Wow, Jude. Jude, a spiritual x-ray. I love it. I really do.
Jude, the spiritual x-ray. That's good. That, wait, hold on. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even wear the right shoes for my cowbell today. Look at that.
Well, we're informal around here, Jerry.
Oh. You know, since we were talking about like stuff like video and things of that nature, Amazon Prime is worth every penny because you've got to have stuff delivered and then you get the video. It's just worth it. And they don't pay me. I'm just saying that it is.
That's the only thing I pay for. Everything else I pirate, but I pay for Amazon.
Well, I mean, it's the value. Like I have Netflix too, but you know, I don't pay for that. I share that, but that's what I'm saying. But you know, the last two seasons, if you don't watch any of it, watch the last two seasons, last two episodes of the last season, the last two episodes of the last season of The American.
No, oh.
That is
really
a good.
Oh, watch the whole series.
That shit, I'm watching it for the third time. I'm still seeing stuff I missed. Dan is no fucking joke, man.
It's a beautiful piece of filmmaking because you can't figure out who you hate. You know who you're supposed to hate, but you can't hate him.
Oh God! It's life. It's like I said before. Like they're not going to do that. Oh, they did it. Oh shit! Now what?
Speaking of the Americans and online dating.
Wait, what?
Online dating is a hot mess. Speaking of the Americans and online dating, I have a Russian in my feed right now, and I like it. I said, you know, I think you're a Russian spy, and I think it's kind of hot. I'm just not going to let you steal my identity. These are things that were actually said. Because that's what's in the online dating is a hot mess.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You know what? The supermarket, man, that's the best place, the supermarket.
No, you're right. That's you're right. Here, I just saw somebody come out of the supermarket. I was like, I would fight her husband. I would. Full gladiator. Oh, my. Todd. You stick.
Okay, guys. Guys.
I know, that was complimentary.
I understand, yeah, but like,
that
you know, save it.
Complimentary.
Save it for the cigar. Okay. Save it for the cigar bar, Jerry.
I waved, and I didn't even think anything untoward. She was just beautiful and well proportioned.
Miami, I mean, honest to God, there's just some women in Miami. It's like, hey, Robin, I'm gonna send you a picture of my friend, and you see what I'm not. I don't know what it is. I'm not that good looking, but I roll with dimes, man.
I've said before, and I said too much. Oh wait, that's an REM lyric. Oh no, I think I've said too much.
You've already lost your religion, so
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, eight. That one dawned on me 18 years too late. But no, I don't know. Kind of maybe, you know, met some people.
Oh,
you know.
There you go. Go jump up and down, Robin. You deserve it.
So, you know, who knows? Who knows? It's all terribly complicated, and everybody's a long way away, and nobody's here. And then again, there is a guy, you know, because, you know, the app will show you 5 miles away from you. And it was like 1:30 in the morning, and the phone goes ding. And I just happened to be awake, and I looked at it, and oh, what a sweet talker.
You need some booty call theme music.
And Jeremy, who loves these segments, will love this one. I opened it. No profile pic. No profile. And just four little words. Come give me head.
Damn.
Wow. Real
never,
sweet talker there.
Never, yeah, I mean, I wrote back and I said, oh my God, you know, with a profile like yours and sweet talk like that, what girl could resist? Blocked him. Jesus.
Yeah, I could say something
never,
here, but I won't.
Never got anything like that, you know, in the before
you know,
time.
I was thinking, right? I was thinking. There were some guys in South Beach once, and they were screaming some stuff at a girl and made the girls feel really unsafe. And I ran up to them because I'm Scary Gary. And I said, guys, has this ever worked? Screaming. Have you ever dated a girl, got a phone number, screaming? No. I go, so what do you do?
Learning curve.
Did your dad meet your mom this way? And they took off. That's almost as good as the time where I terrorized some abortion protesters. I was going, so you want to adopt some babies? No. Do you want to? I know some women right now are pregnant. Do you want to give them money? No. So why are you standing here?
It's a beautiful
That's
moment.
Who the fuck I am.
Oh, wait. I just realized Oh, Lady B, what are the rules? Let me check. I'm screwing up again.
Uh-oh. Is Lady B coming on?
No, but.
Come on, Lady B. Come holler at us. Sit under the tree and smoke cigarettes or blunts or whatever we're doing.
No, I broke the rules. Weather on the tens, time and temp, keep the relatability for your friends. Yeah, keep the relate. I love that one so much. I do. But,
the closest town you're near, Robin, is what, Charleston?
Well, I mean, of any size, yeah. I mean, Beckley's-ish.
So that
Fayetteville's just, tiny.
Do they have any gay bars there or anything?
There's like one.
Might be time to get dolled up. Put the stripper high heels on. You know you want to. You know the clear ones with the fish tank in it.
Oh, what? It's the you know you want to that makes it art, Scary Jerry.
That's fucked
I'd break an ankle and they'd have to put me down on the track.
I was shocked to see those on sale somewhere.
I don't know how
they really make those.
Yeah, they really do. And I don't know how my sisters handle it, because, you know, I don't need to be any taller. It's already a problem.
You people, man, come on. You don't have to say you people.
Yeah, no, you peopled me, and I deserved it.
That was you people-esque. If there's ever anything to just draw back and go, you people, y'all are going to hell. I'll sell you lemonade, but y'all are going to hell.
Wait a minute. I have some heavy news. Well, I got the shit to kill, though. I ain't lying. I got the shit to kill, though.
What?
Oh, man, I got the shit to kill, though. It's like the everlasting gobstop. You smell it, you look at it, and you put it up, and that's it. It's going to last forever. I'm not kidding. I got it. The fucking tricolor
is
so big.
Is it the Hanukkah menorah miracle of like flowers?
Wow,
just stays lit.
The fucking label,
went a long way for that one for nothing. Just stays lit.
You just had to you had to catch a bus for that one, and then get Amazon Prime to deliver it. That was far. That came a distance.
We try here. We try.
They can't all land, Robin. You're hysterical. In fact, I was studying your Trump imitation.
Yeah.
Or your Trump. That's your Trump. Your Trump is inspired.
Well, thank you.
It really is.
Oh, by the way, by the way, back to Donald Fagan. Kevin in Massachusetts says, "What a beautiful world this could be. What a glorious time to be free." And there's $45 left on Rico's challenge, and I may have just screwed us right out of it. But the bottom line is that Kevin says, IGY always lifts my mood. Same.
I like the idea of...
I love that whole album.
I like the idea of Steely Dan. I only like one song, but I like the idea of Steely Dan. I'm like that with the Odette, too.
Well, the second solo album that Donald Fagan released, the Comicariad, underappreciated, and there is it's become kind of a little theme song. There's a song on there called "Tomorrow's Girl," about, you know, a planet being invaded by alien hotties.
Okay, I got to hear that. Something for the media deck.
Oh, hold on. Let's just, you know, we got some royalty money here. The fine Colombian. Make tonight a wonderful.
I mean, come on. What's not to love about that? Seriously.
All right. Here it is. And as with any song from that bunch, it's going to. Let me see how far I got to go to get out of the intro. Is that funky or what? Our town is just like any other. Chair dancing. Dirty-ass guitar, Walter Becker. You see them on the grass at lunch hour, soaking up the vertical breeze. In the summer dresses, a little smile can really make your day. Oh, I can't stand it. But, yeah, that's a little theme song.
You know you lost Annette, right?
Now what?
You lost Annette.
Oh, no, I thought you said I was off the net. I was like, wait, we buffered up and quit? No, we're good. But, yeah, no, it's, yeah. And Lady B's right there with us through all of this. If Donald Fagen didn't become so famous, if he wasn't so goddamn good, he'd be a lounge singer because God put him on earth to sing and play. I mean, and then the series of lines. All night long we would sing. All night long we would sing that stupid song. My God, what a great fucking song. Time Out of Mind is about drugs, too. Tonight when I chase the dragon, the water may change to cherry wine, and the silver will turn to gold. Time Out of Mind. Then from Nightfly, IGY, and New Frontier, two great lines from Frontier. Introduce me to that big blonde. She's got a touch of Tuesday Weld. She's wearing Ambush and a French twist. She's got us wild, and she can tell. She loves to limbo. That much is clear. She's got the right dynamic for the New Frontier. And, you know, have you got a steady boyfriend? Because, honey, I've been watching you. I hear you're mad about Brubeck. I like your eyes. I like him, too. His wordplay, man, Lady B says. Oh, my God, stop. Stop with the Steely Dan talk. Dudette, my finger's poised above Spotify. I press it and poof, you're gone. Fucking love Steely Dan. I know. It's And well, there's a little list of things I learned not to play. Steely Dan, John Prine, and Little Feet. It's hard. That's a hard little trifecta there, but Steely Dan especially.
Boy, you know, goddamn well. After later on, I'm gonna have to.
Hello.
I'm coming back to Bill Elvis, and I'm gonna. I got the JBLs, man. I'm gonna crank my shit up. I'm gonna make the house bump, and I'm gonna make some Steely Dan happen. And I ain't chasing no dragon, but if people don't understand what that means.
No, I know.
I know.
If you hit a dab, you're chasing the dragon.
No. Chasing the
That'll
dragon.
Work too.
Yeah, but chasing the dragon.
No. I know what it means. But
at the time that album was released, yeah.
Has expanded, is what I'm trying to say. It's Chasing the Dragon has expanded in the 21st century.
It's, in other words, it's been repurposed.
Co-opted. Anything where you're vaporizing an alkaloid is not Chasing the Dragon. Because there's a lot of that going on. Because we're all crazy. That's what I wanted. Everybody, you were mentioning that about driving, and I was like, wow, that's affected West Virginia driving. Everybody's lost their collective miles. They've been
Jerry,
de-socialized.
Based on this conversation, you've got to go to YouTube. You've got to give yourself an hour. You've got to watch the new ContraPoints video. It's called The Hunger. Because it's gonna get all over you. It's everything we love to talk about. It's beautifully produced. And
ContraPoints, is that what it's called?
Yeah, the channel is called ContraPoints, and the video is called The Hunger. I recommend it to everybody. I mean, it touches.
Yeah, it's
one of those things that you know, you watch it the first time and you go, huh, wow, that was good. And then you find yourself going back and I think I'm going to watch that again. And you do, and you get a little bit more that time because you notice something you missed the first time through, because there is nothing wasted in that video. She is probably the best content creator on YouTube, period, bar none.
Really?
And I don't just say shit.
ContraPoints. Okay. I'll hold you to it.
And then start working your way back through the whole catalog, and you'll just be ruined.
My YouTube algorithm is so weird.
Well, add in ContraPoints, and your algorithm will probably have a little nervous breakdown. By the way, Jude says, those high heels with the fish tank? Hey, you three. I worked in a strip club when I turned 21. I was a fully dressed waitress, but after hours, my friend and I dressed up and danced on that stage. It was incredibly releasing. I don't know how you dance in those shoes. I don't.
I'm an ex-strip club DJ. So, yeah. In fact, my second wife was a stripper. Yes, I got stories. Lots of stories. I think it's a podcast if I start talking about this shit.
Well, some evening, Jerry will just turn you loose.
No. I had a fight with my youngest daughter because she was digging up old shit. And I told her, ask her mom, where was she on 9/11/2001? How come she was the only person in the world who didn't realize two planes had hit some buildings? And that was a nice conversation starter. It's a funny joke, too. It's been tragic for 2 decades, but I finally made humor out of it. Spoiler alert, she was cheating.
No, I kind of guessed.
And
that.
If it was 2010, if it was 9/10, I would have never found out. But 9/11, she was the only person in North America who didn't know two planes had hit two buildings. It was almost comical.
Oh, jeez.
So I guess, yeah. No, I guess I'm dealing with the trauma of lies. I guess that's the best way to put it. The little lies we tell ourselves and tell our families just to get along. And to go along and not make meals together really tense.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh, Lady B, I think I'm annoying Lady B at this point. She says, tomorrow's girls, you son of a bitch. From Sheila's to the reefs of Kismar, from Stargate and the Outer Worlds, they're speeding towards our sun on a party run. Here come tomorrow's girls, tomorrow's girls. Stop it now. I can't even work for typing. Well, I'll be damned. We did buffer up. How about that?
Love you, Lady B. This is me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Normally, I'm laughing and screaming and, talking to the podcast. But there's nobody there because it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's got to be fun.
Yeah, and I've had rabbis come in and you know, with F-bombs dropping. I'm like, oh, you know, because they come in at like 6 in the morning.
Hey.
Well, so your show and a couple other podcasts are headphones only.
I've been told that in the past, among other things, Matt in San Francisco has remarked on a couple of different occasions how he'll have his headphones on, like, you know, on the treadmill or whatever, laughing maniacally, and everybody in the gym will just be staring at him. Do I interfere in your business? Yeah, if you're listening on White Rose Society, I don't know why. I think our servers crashed, but we're good on headon.live, so we got that going.
It's a call and response. You'll say something, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I'll finish what you're saying because I've heard you say it or your slot structure 1,000 times before, and to the untrained eye, it looks like I'm talking to myself. But you have a huge call and response. When you say something, we'll go, uh-huh, or yeah, or we'll finish the sentence.
It was our buddy Zed. Our buddy Zed over the weekend tweeted at me, and I got to meet Zed and MJ at the Horn Inn, and it was wonderful. Let's see. Zed said, MJ asked in the past why I listened to your show. During Wednesday's show, you were talking about the preacher that wanted to execute LGBT people. I said out loud, it's the hypocrisy. 2/10 of a second before you said it. That song is that song from, and I think he's referring to Burns Lawler's Alabama Jesus, is why I listen. So, hi, Zed. Hi, MJ. And I've heard that a lot.
That Alabama preacher. That guy had the Nazi haircut and that new corporate Nazi logo. Did you see that? Did you catch that?
I don't think he's Alabama. The guy that wants to murder all the LGBTQ people is at Steadfast Church in Texas. And then there's Greg Locke or whatever his name is up in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and he's pure poison. Hey, Jerry, I need to clear the stress line so a couple other people can get in
no
on the
problem.
Way out the door.
I need to get on. I love you all. Send Robin money, you filthy bastards. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Damn right, Jerry.
So yeah, $45, and we meet Rico's challenge from the quiescent but rapidly warming Berg. Thank you, Rico, and thanks to everybody who's jumped in so far. It is much appreciated. Yeah, Todd.
I'm just curious, like seriously, like, okay, a lot of people, apparently, I know this from experience now, because I've experienced it. A lot of people listen to your program that you might not think. It's out there. And, you know, folks.
Yeah, like Malloy used to say, an audience of dozens.
No, but seriously, like people who've never contributed, you know, a couple of bucks. If everybody, because we got a crew of people who continuously contribute, but, you know, if you like the program and you never, you know. You never
well, and let me say, I need to say thank you real quick, because we were up against it. There were bad things that were about to happen. And they didn't happen, and it happened, and that's because of y'all. That's because we got caught up on Friday, you know, thank you to Andy who jumped in later. Thank you, Andy.
Andy, angry Jew.
No, different Andy. This is a different Andy. There are multiple Andys. But thank you, because those disasters were averted, you know, for now. And I'll spend the rest of the month trying to make sure that they stay averted. Thank you, Ralph. You're good on tune in. I don't know why White Rose crashed, but it did. Still won't send. Oh, well. But at least I'm recording it. Let me see here. Sorry, multitasking. I feel kind of bad that we haven't talked about we haven't really talked about the Treason TV today. I assume everybody was glued to their telescreens or their speakers. I was listening, not watching. And the clips were absolutely damning. It's not, and it was very methodical. You know, today was all about proving that Nitwit Nero damned well knew he'd lost, and that at some point in time he knew he was. He knew he was advancing a big lie. And some of the most damning stuff, of course, came from the deposition testimony of Bill Barr to prosecution. Because Bill Barr will do any number of sketchy, untoward, skeevy, sleazy things in the name of advancing Republican power politics. But what he will not do is get his own ass disbarred.
Did you see that?
Heard it.
I'm not trying to bump into your, break your rhythm or whatever, but, you know, honestly, C-SPAN is the best place to watch this, because there's a little star where they vetted little areas where you watch the whole thing, but the stars at the bottom of the video will show you very interesting points. And, you know, it's very interesting that most of these characters, they say one thing in public, and then you see them when they're under oath. Remember, these motherfuckers are under oath.
Yeah, oh, yeah, then it's a whole nother.
It's like, oh, you know, but we got a whole statistically significant portion of this country that is not going to
You mentioned that earlier, and I think it's worth noting, because they were talking about it on my Filthy Morning Habit this morning. There were 20 million viewers for Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And they pointed out that, you know, that was 16 million more people than ever watched the most watched episode of The Apprentice.
I saw that.
12 million more people than ever watched the most watched episode of Celebrity Apprentice. It was twice as many people as watched the NBA Finals. And it's 20 million. It's 20 million people out of an. But then I, just because I'm a cranky girl, I started thinking, well, 20 million people. That's let's say there's 350 million people in the United States. That 10% would be 35 million. So we're a little over 5% of the American people watch that. And that's awesome numbers in the era of 119 channels and nothing on. But it's still only 20 million people. Now, if you get into the Prel shampoo ad part of it, and you say, and they tell two people, and they tell two people, and I've run across a couple of people, perfect strangers, who have said to me, that was some creepy shit. What the fuck were they thinking?
Really?
And I didn't know what their politics were or anything, but it's like, yeah, it was creepy. And the fact that there was a documentarian on the ground embedded with them, and I mean, they thought they were going to win, Todd. That's why they let the guy keep rolling when they were actually in the parking garage putting together the conspiracy between the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. The same Proud Boys who attacked Drag Queen Story Hour, by the way. Same group. Not the same people, but the same group. So they don't seem to be too particularly cowed by the fact that their leadership is going up the goddamn river, maybe. Or maybe they'll have a slap on the wrist, because there was another story this evening that I ran across that kind of feel it sort of feels like it feels like the rest of the world catching up to us again, you know, that whole straight road thing. So far out of the head of the curve, it feels like we're on a straight road.
Right.
Well, Ray Hartman over at Raw Story has a piece about, and we've heard his name before, maggot Judge Trevor McFadden, who actually worked on Trump's transition team. And he's earned himself a record as the most lenient judge dealing with these goddamned insurrectionists.
Personal cognizance, all kind of bullshit.
Yeah, he's the one who acquitted a maggot in a bench trial. This was the guy from New Mexico who said that, well, I thought the police told me I could go in.
Well, and you see, that illustrates what we're dealing with. This is a rift in the fabric of our country. And that's what we have to come to terms with. And it's like, you know, and I deal with this at work. In fact, I had a family that came from your state, and I think they were looking for me. They're gunning for me. This dude was coming to look for me.
What?
And I'm okay with that. I would take a motherfucker out. I don't give a fuck. I would kill a motherfucker. Anyway.
In self-defense.
Right. Catch me if you can. But, you know, I'm not scared. But this sucker, and he knew about you. He knew about everything.
What?
Yeah, man.
You're not already into the Elvis, are you?
No, that has nothing to do with it. I'm telling you what I know, the truth. I'm just talking the truth. He's from your area. And, you know, and he started asking me all these personal questions and shit, and I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. Now I was like, okay. But, I mean, he's a nice guy and everything. You know, I was very friendly on his way. I'm professional. I do what I always do. However, you see, white people, oftentimes, they get uncomfortable when you say, well, why do you ask that question? Because black people are supposed to always answer the white man saying something. Fuck that. Fuck that. I ain't having that shit. You ask me some dumb shit, I'm going to come at you. You know, I'm meek and mild and professional, but
guess what? You come at me again, motherfucker. I got you. You're going to be on the ground quick. And I hope you listen, because I will have I will have something in your neck quick. And you're going to bleed out. I don't give a fuck. So I hope you listen.
That's frightening, Todd.
What?
I said, that's frightening.
Oh, well, it is what it is. I'm just telling you what, you know, that's how I'm built, man. I don't give a fuck. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, but he was a nice guy, but I was just like, it was curious. And then he hit his vehicle. The vehicle wasn't, like, near the entrance. You see? Like, you know, I operate like a detective. I'm very aware of my surroundings. And I know I've been breached, and that's fine. I'm built. I got a big dick. I don't give a fuck. It don't matter to me. It doesn't matter. Other stuff, I've got my eyes open. Now, if this motherfucker comes up to me again...
When did this happen, Todd?
Very recently. And I'm going to tell you, and, you know, and then he said he had, well, I'm not going to get...
Was he behaving in a threatening fashion, or was it like, well, hey, I know Robin?
Well, he brought up, it was a whole lot of red flags. You see, I mean, I'm not bragging, but I'm not a dumb person. You
know, no, hell no.
I mean, right. So there were too many red flags. And then the fact that they hit the vehicle, you know, like I don't know. Like, you know, like police, no, Chris, you got police, right? They know what things look like normal because that's what they do. They patrol. So if something looks out of order, and that's me. It's like, you think, like, you're the first person, come on. Why you, you know, it's like red flag, like a million red flags. So, I talk him up. He seemed to be nice. He was a gun nut, number one. And that was weird. But that's common, actually, where I work. You know, he's a gun nut, and that's fine. That's what they're like. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's just, I don't give a fuck, man. Honestly. You want to come to me, come. Don't be a coward. I'm going to take you man to man. I will fuck your ass off. You don't know who you're fucking with. I'm meek and mild on the surface, but I have no compunction. I will fucking break your neck. I will kill you. I'll make you bleed the fuck out. And I don't need a gun. I will snap your fucking neck, break your back. I ain't lying.
I have never heard you talk like this before. Well, we've been talking a long time.
Long time. But I knew this was going to happen at some point. But that's okay, though. That's okay. You know what? There's cameras everywhere. And you know what? I have resources where when I have to go to court, I'll be all right. I ain't worried about it. But, I mean, you come to me, man, you better fucking come. Don't be pussy-putting, man. The hell no. I will fucking snap.
Well, don't. Let's not encourage them, okay?
Yeah, you're right. I'm just irritated that because it was too many red flags. Because he brought up.
Write to me off air and give me a physical description.
And I will. You know what? I will. And I saw it. I you know, it's been so much on my plate right now. I did get an email. I have not responded to your email because it's a lot going on right now. And,
I got you.
Yeah. I just so you know, it's interesting. But at the end of the day, you know, we'll see what happens. And I'm sorry to divert the conversation.
Oh no! I got a couple of things to add in here. Lady B, telling me your gain's a little low. I think you're a little bit away from your microphone. Can't touch the gain. Maybe you can bring the volume up on Todd because he's pretty low. I'm listening on TuneIn. And yeah, Lady B says, Todd's right. Black men are tired of this shit. I don't predict a race war, but you get enough oppressed people in a room, you get the Civil Rights Act. Truth in that. And Lady B, in regard to Scary Jerry, said, you are fascinating. Skating on the edge of prurient. No fucking FCC, Anita Bryant, Tipper Gore bullshit on this show. Jerry needs to be let loose, but baby, ooh la la. You've got one of the best radio internet gigs, Robin. Fight like hell to keep it. Favorite Steely Dan song. Favorite Steely Dan song is FM. I'm a disc jockey. Always will be. That's why I like the night. That's why I love the Nightfly so much, Lady B. The amplitude modulation signal went for miles. KOA Denver 50,000 watt blowtorch, but FM, no static at all, baby. Jerry and Todd, fist
Damn,
up.
That's a lot.
Yeah, Jerry and Todd, fist up to the bros, and curtsy to you, Robin. Curtsy back. Okay, I'm done. I've got to work. Love you guys. And she adds, I meant you get the Civil Rights Act or you get John Brown's Rebellion. It doesn't have to be a brother who leads it, but whoever leads it means business. And, you know, sadly, the John Brown types are on the wrong side of the law, the wrong side of history, and the wrong side of common human decency. That was some, I mean, and I don't mean, because John Brown.
Wait, what? What John Brown? Wait, what?
John Brown, Harper's Ferry, you know. But, I mean, that's, you know.
On the wrong side of history.
No, not John Brown was, the Buckin' Proud Boys, the people who are pulling some John Brown now.
Oh.
You know, they were gonna go into that pride celebration, club some people maybe to death, and if anybody did cock and lock, they were armed and they were going to take them out too. Let me bring Arnold into the conversation.
Idaho's infamous for a haven for white supremacy.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge. Come on. Yeah.
I mean, that's just a fact. So go ahead. I'm sorry, but I had to get that out. Cause I'm at the
no, you're, absolute, you're absolutely right. Let's check in with Arnold in PA. Hey, mm-hmm. Arnold.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Todd. I didn't call in to talk about the Idaho.
Wait, where'd you go?
Oh, Arnold, man.
Arnold, man, what's going on?
Arnold always had some good shit.
Arnold's and Arnold's there. I just don't know what happened to him.
He's living there.
Lost his connection.
He's going to call back. It's going to come through. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you, man. Central Fiat, that TA's interesting, man.
And by the way, Randy Radar asked earlier, when you get a sec, because you mentioned Bucks County, what's the and Randy Radar knows the answer, but he wants you to give it. What's the big deal with Bucks County?
The big deal with Bucks County, people of our age, you and me, that was the place to be. That was a hippie commune kind of thing, Peddler's Village, okay? And it's halfway between New York, you know, the city, and Philly. So it's a great location. And people got in on the ground floor, the smart folk, right? So somehow, you know, when people started making money or whatever, you know, and especially with the MSNBC crowd, they know it's weird. It's a colony of folk because it's an easy commute and the taxes are lower. So now, you know, moving forward, you see you got Lambertville, New Jersey, right across the river, you know, it's convenient. I mean, it's just a thing to be. It's a place to be. Michael Smirkanish, right? He lives out there. Everybody. I mean, if you got any money, that's where you move because you could have like a little estate, little farm or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's money growing out of the ground in Bucks County, right?
Oh yeah, it's full. And see, if you got in on the ground floor, you see, wow. I mean, you go there, get your pottery, your art. You know, the little commune thing. I mean, come on, you're halfway to the city. And it's very convenient. You're still close to Atlantic City. You know, it's just very, because otherwise, let's say you've got a big time job like MSNBC people in the city. You're making X amount of dollars. Connecticut, Jersey, New York, you know, Montclair in New York. You know, come on. That it costs too much. I got friends in Montclair, man. They got in. You know, you come out the tunnel, man. If you live in Montclair, man, you're fucking set. I don't know if you've ever been to Montclair, New Jersey, but
my New Jersey experience is severely limited.
Well, that's the place.
Basically, Weehawken.
You know what? That's the headquarters for ShopRite, which is the best supermarket on earth. ShopRite.
Well, we went there a few years ago, Ferg and me and Tara and Chris in Germany, because I always wanted to see the place. I wanted to see the place where Burr and Hamilton dueled.
Okay.
Because I see that as one of those places where the history of this country changed forever.
Well, yeah. Right. The Brandywine, it's just really a nice area. It really is. And then, you know, it's just a nice area. And it's centrally located. I remember, you know, we used to go there all the time when my parents would take me up there. You know, because it was an artist community. You know, I have artists in my family. I'm not going to say any names now.
No. Well, 3 hours of program has run past us. And I am going to head out because it is 95.0 degrees here in the studio.
It's hot. You know what? We're in for some trouble. Did you see? Do you know what? It's going to be 100 degrees here every day the rest of this week.
You're kidding. Well, I mean, okay, down there, I can buy that. I can buy that. Let's see. What are we looking for? Here's the part where two older Americans talk about the weather. We've got a severe thunderstorm watch right now. It is 81 degrees outside. It's 95 here in the Fabulous Horn Studios. Let's see. High tomorrow, 91. High Wednesday, 93. High Thursday, 91. Oh, it cools off to 87 on Friday. And thunderstorms predicted every day but Wednesday. It's here. But, I revel in this time of year because I posted something on Facebook just the other day. When Bobby and I went out and just had a Saturday evening out on the very small town. It occurred to me, these are the times of the year that I love best. I really, really do love them best because the days are still lengthening. The daylight is still lengthening. And that comes to an end in about a week. And it
was that like 21st?
Yeah, first day of summer. And it seems weird because, you know, summer is the height of warm weather, but it's also the beginning of the shortening of days.
It's coming.
So, you know, the sweet spot on my calendar, even though it can get cold and nasty in early spring, is first day of spring to first day of summer. And I think I love the month of May and the first 2 weeks of June best of all.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the light just seems to last forever. And it reminds me of my favorite Robert Frost poem. And mm-hmm. I just glory in it. And, of course, in 7 days, it will be one of my favorite holidays, West Virginia Day. I think everybody mm-hmm. should celebrate West Virginia Day. June 20th, 1863, the day that one state left another in the middle of a civil war because they wanted to be a free state. And that is why the motto of West Virginia is and remains Montani Semper Liberi, Mountaineers always free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. the execution was not so great, but the intent was quality because they wanted to kind of poke their finger in Virginia's eyes. You treasonous.
That's what I was going to say. That why do you think they broke off from Virginia? It's like, we're going to do this our way. They're like, we're independent. Like, you're talking about freedom. But.
And it always reminds me, you know, there was a great debate over. The Capitol Dome was being built during the Civil War, and the planning on it had gone on for some time. And I've talked about this in the past, but there are two statues of liberty in this country. One is in New York Harbor. The other is at the top of the Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C. and she wears Liberty at the top of the Capitol Dome, wears this stupid fucking hat made out of turkey feathers. Like she's some sort of redneck girl. And most people don't know that the reason that she wears that stupid hat is because the way she was originally designed, she was wearing a cap of liberty like unto the caps of liberty that were worn by the Jacquerie.
Benjamin Franklin.
No, the cap of liberty that was worn by the French during the French Revolution.
Oh.
And one senator said that had to go. Because it ill befits a free people for their national symbol to be wearing a cap of liberty when they are already free. And so they changed it to that stupid turkey feather hat at the insistence of one United States senator by the name of Jefferson Davis. And now you know the rest of the story. God, anybody under 50 does not... anybody under 50 is like, why is she talking like that?
No, come on, woman. That's a good shit.
Now you know. Every time I think of Paul Harvey now, because he was such a little right... He turned into such a little right-wing turd over the war in Iraq. I always remember Bart Kopp. Somebody, Koresh rest his soul. Always referring to Bart Kopp after he turned into a full loyal Bushy, referring to him as Paul Harvey, the old horse molester.
Whoa. Oh.
Because he said tawdry. He spent years saying tawdry shit about Bill Clinton, and Bart Kopp figured, well, okay, fair game. Let's say tawdry shit about Paul Harvey, old horse molester.
You know, I think you're onto something there because, you know, AM radio, you know, it keeps you awake when you're driving because it's just crazy stuff, you know. And he should have just retired before that because he was starting to get old, you know, old cranky white
dude. But no, really, the bottom line is that, the guy who would be the president of the Confederacy actually said in the 1850s that every American was free.
What? Oh,
I mean, that takes some brass, very, very white brass.
Let me say this. I deal with DAR stuff every fucking day, all the time. I'm intimately...
Dar and Dak.
You know, it's interesting. All DAR and Sons of America, all these organizations, and I've had a problem with it. But I find that white folks have a problem with doing black folks stuff. But, you know, I don't care. It's history. But I think it's important because this is how we got where we are. This is what I don't understand. And I know you got to go. We have to go. But this is I think this is a very prescient question. Because it really is coming down to this now. Because, honestly, there are a lot of people out there who think that, you know, slavery wasn't that bad. And at least the black people would be working. And, I mean, if you were querying them, it will say that.
Lord, yeah, I know.
Okay, we didn't have them. So, you know, all right, so that being said, you know, well, what did you think was going to happen? Like, did you think, like, okay, we have the telegraph, telephone is just getting started. Like, did you, and then you have states where slavery's not legal, just like you step over a line and, you know, you're not a slave. Like, what did you think was going to happen? How long did you think this was going to go on? I mean, why? And first, and then you lost. What the fuck? What is wrong with you? What, I mean, in this lost cause shit. See, I'm very involved in Reconstruction and lost cause. I'm doing a lot of research in that. And it's just compelling, man. This shit is compelling. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I do. I really do.
Well,
you got a note from Scary Jerry.
Jerry.
And Scary Jerry says, responding to Todd, as a person of color, my repetitious mantra as of late is, I wish a maggot would. And calm down, Agent Fred. Scary Jerry's not talking about any actual plans. Don't need a gun. Just beneath this articulate and well-spoken exterior is someone who learned to stab a person with a broken beer bottle and have had thousands of hours of MMA. I don't do victimhood at all. And by the way, it's 100 degrees right now in Miami. Yeah. Okay, I'm being told that I have to go because I'm chewing through someone's 5G data cap because their cable's out.
All right.
So let's roll here. Todd, great talking to you, my friend. It always is. And you know, we get into some silliness and flummery, and then we deal with some heavy shit. And sometimes it's backwards.
It is what it is. You know, I'm sorry. But listen, you, lady, you are doing a good job.
Thank you.
Always. And everybody knows that, I hope. And please, if you've never contributed, you know, please contribute. And if I offended anyone, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't think you have. We are at $45. $45 meets Rico's challenge.
See, there's somebody out there who has $7 who's never contributed that list. Just do it. Yeah. You'll feel better.
Thank you, Todd.
All right.
Hey, like Malloy says, watch your back.
Keep it lit.
All right. See ya. Bye. And so we are done with the evening. You just heard what I said. You're right. Brother Deacon, Asa pointing out, Brother Deacon's humble opinion, Paul Harvey was always a bit of a right-winger. He was just good at keeping it under wraps. W9-11 just brought it to the fore. That's absolutely true. And so thanks, everybody, for joining in on this Moran Monday. Keep a weather eye out for any truckloads of U-Haul truckloads of Proud Boys. Call the cops if you see them. Hope the cops respond appropriately, because this is probably not the end of it. We're not even at the middle of June yet. How many attacks have there already been on Pride events? Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Enjoy your trip. Ben hasn't been out and about since 2019, and I hope he is enjoying it. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. Please stay safe, get your booster, wash your hands, don't touch your face, maintain your social distance, wear those masks, especially in crowded places full of people who probably didn't even get shot number one. And, you know, if you're going down the street and you see somebody coming towards you wearing a T-shirt that says, kill all pedophiles, and he's part of a group that's probably up to its own eyeballs in pedophiles, avoid that proud boy like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.